going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at Armand, A-R-M-O-N-D, wake up. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/clockradiospeakers. Twitter, use the hashtag clockradiospeakers. DPS Radio every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And I'm here with my man, Doc.
I just want to say how long it's going to take you to go there. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S not a Z. I think Armand got the rest of them. You can follow Armand on Instagram. You can figure out what he's...
You just go do that every time, every episode.
You can figure out what he's eating, or you know, whatever he's going to, you know, take pictures of. And another week into Instagram. You still taking pictures like you thought you would?
Not really. I probably will this summer. I think, you know, right now life is kind of, it's busy, but it's boring busy. So if you want to see me take pictures of like church buildings and like me driving in my car.
That's what then, people take on Instagram though. I mean,
yeah,
everybody gets an Instagram and they all, I mean, I'm guilty of this. Everybody thinks that they're like some elite photographer now. People take real extra care. They're like, I got to get the focus just right. You're all like lining it up and you know,
I
think that's great. Not, I mean, yeah, it could be a little pretentious, but anything that gets people to take more pictures, I think is good. But
right. I mean, I have like 3 or 4 photo apps on my phone. I only had one. I got 2 cameras. It's crazy. I don't know. So
last week we did the Lupe Fiasco retrospective.
Yes, we did.
What kind of feedback did you get off that?
I got mostly good feedback, actually.
Yeah.
Everybody was pretty much, you know, happy we did it and, you know, even excited about some of the episodes that we kind of came up with on the fly. What about you? What'd you hear?
I heard good things. You know, I think some people might have quibbled a little bit with my 1.5. As predicted, not everybody agreed with me in terms of like what Lupe was doing off of lasers, but overall with the whole episode, I don't recall really any negative feedback. Certainly not like with your man J. Cole.
Yeah, that was bad.
All right, yeah, we we forgot to talk about the when Lupe dropped everybody from First and 15th after lasers got shoved.
Who was signed to First and 15th?
It was Jim Stones, it was Sarah Green, it was Shayla G, it was Bishop G, and that was it. Did I say Matthew Santos?
No. He got shelved?
He got dropped.
Dropped?
He dropped Lupe dropped everybody except for Sarah Green, because she's on lasers. She's on the intro.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Everybody else got dropped. Probably should have did that before you got a record deal, but I don't know. Anyway, what are we talking about this week, Doc?
We're talking about NBA playoffs.
But
because Armand wasn't ready to do another retrospective. He needed some time away. You know, he needed to get his mind right.
That's a very rapper response.
I was trying to dig out some cliches. I mean, how often in my everyday usage do I get to use the phrase get your mind right? So
right. right.
Now, you know, it's NBA playoffs and it was a good opening weekend. We picked a good time to talk about the NBA.
Definitely.
So everybody knows, I think we're generally just going to run through each series, but you know, there's going to be some series we probably spend a little more time on than others.
Yep.
No offense to Pacers Magic. No, I'm just playing.
I've got plenty of slander for the Magic. One of our listeners is a huge Orlando Magic fan. Just because I know he's listening, I'm just going to slander them for like 20 minutes.
All right. I mean, I thought they would. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
So I sort of did this in order of the games as they sort of went this weekend, because I actually watched parts or most of all of them.
Okay.
I had a lot of free time on my hands this weekend.
Yeah. You're going to have to lead a couple of them because I didn't see too many.
So let's talk about Derrick Rose.
Okay.
So did you see any of the game, Bulls Sixers?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. I saw a tiny bit. I saw a little bit of the beginning, and then I went back, saw the end right around the time he got hurt.
Yeah, so, you know, the game itself, I thought, was pretty much sort of what you might expect. You know, Sixers deep team, you know, for everybody, if you haven't been paying attention to the NBA, they got off to a real hot start this year. Mm-hmm. Everybody was all of a sudden talking about them, and they sort of cooled off a little bit. They still got a lot of young players, not a whole lot of playoff experience. But their big problem is they just don't have, you know, a star. They don't have a reliable sort of like person who, when everything goes wrong, which we'll talk about right. much later when we talk about the Clippers, they don't have that person who can sort of put them on their back. Or, you know, if I were to say, all right, game's on the line, who are you going to? And this is an overused cliche, but I mean, to a certain degree, like, you need somebody.
Right.
You know, and for years, everybody always thought it was Iguodala. But he's just not. I mean, he gets paid like he's the man.
I mean, because he had, like, it seems like nowadays in the NBA, all you need is like maybe one or two, like a season and a half where you break out and do something consistently.
But he wasn't even that. It was more like he looked like he was on pace for
yeah.
to be great. And the other problem is, especially with these teams when they're sort of rebuilding, you sort of, I don't want to say you get stuck, but like, and this is the same thing, we'll talk about this with the Pacers, like, you know, if you have someone who is the guy and maybe they're not incredible, but if there's nobody else to sort of take the role of the guy, then they sort of pretend like they're the guy. Mm-hmm. Joe Johnson might be the biggest example of this, although he wasn't drafted by the Heat, but like, he gets paid like, you know, he's a top five player and he's not.
And he's not.
No, you know, but and like I said, on the Pacers, you know, they have a very similar thing with Danny Granger, although I think Granger's better than Iguodala.
I agree with that. I say he's better than Joe Johnson too.
Well, we can have lots of Joe Johnson slander. We'll get there.
Yeah, get there.
So, you know, I didn't really think the Sixers were going to compete in this series to begin with, but Rose going down. So go ahead.
You know what? Okay, let me say about the Sixers. Like,
yeah.
You know, after All-Star Weekend, they just kind of fell off. They just kind of fell apart. You know,
yeah.
A lot of it, yeah, is based on inexperience. They're a young team, but we're probably going to bring this up. This is probably going to be the theme of this year's playoffs. But that schedule is retarded.
Schedule is real tough.
Yeah, it's like 66 games in 124 days or something like that. So that's you're pretty much playing a game every other day.
And there were some teams who had stretches like 5 games in 7 days and just
yeah,
crazy,
unreal.
But, you know, that should theoretically benefit a team like the Sixers.
It should, but you know, from my understanding, you kind of have to build your body up to handle an NBA schedule like that. Yeah, you would assume a bunch of guys in their, you know, early to mid 20s, you know, they could stay up all night, eat bad, blah, 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 and they'll still function. But after a while, I don't care who you are, that's going to take a toll on you.
Yeah, I mean, what I was going to say is, you know, in theory, the younger, deeper teams should do better. But, you know, to be honest, they got off to better starts. A lot of these younger, deeper teams did. But, you know, it's the veteran teams who really came alive in the second half of the season.
It's like the tortoise and the hare. I mean, you know, a team like Boston, who we'll talk about a little bit later.
I was just
going like
to say, how many times did I hear that?
What?
I heard that exact phrase when people talk about the Celtics this year.
A team like Boston who started off slow.
No, and tortoise then in the hair, like literally.
Oh, tortoise in the hair, really? Jesus. I've just ventured into middle age discussions and comparisons. I'm feeling old right now. But yeah, you know, a team like the Spurs, team like the Celtics, teams that have pretty much been written off for the most part, ended up having better stretches towards the end of the season than some of the teams like the Sixers who started off, you know, real hot. And I agree, there's not one player. You would assume because of a teammate mindset that because there's no one guy, they can just kind of lean on each other's shoulders. You know, you could pick up a box easier with four guys as opposed to one or opposed to two, you know, distribute the weight evenly. But, you know, look at a team like even Miami. We'll get to them a little bit later, but, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, LeBron pretty much played every game while, you know, Bosch was hurt, Bosch was out, Wade was out for pretty much half the season, and LeBron pretty much carried that team with a few role players, like the old Cleveland days.
Yeah, I mean, but the other thing is you would think that if, you know, I'll go back to your box analogy, but you think that would be true, but, you know, to a certain degree, you got to have someone who's that reliable sort of like, I mean, every team needs a leader.
Absolutely.
Right. But not even just a leader, every team, whether this is in real life too, every team, you don't just need like someone who has leadership qualities, but someone who is so good that the team naturally sort of falls in behind them, right? Good, yep. Great teams in all walks of life, whether it's sports or whatever else, have that.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So,
but you know, as for Chicago,
yeah,
I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, of course, everybody is thinking, "Oh my God, Derrick Rose is out." You know, they're in trouble. Blah blah blah. But not only are they used to not playing with Derrick Rose, I would dare to say that they're better without him.
Man, listen, that is ridiculous. Yeah, what? They're used to playing without him, but they're used to playing without him in the regular season when they can sort of fall back. I mean, if anything, when he's out in the regular season, then they become that deep team who doesn't have the one star, except they have veterans now who they could just pick it up at, you know, every night. One night it might be Boozer. One night it's Noah. One night Deng has a breakout. Like, they have people.
It's Noah.
Well,
those are the two worst players in the NBA right now.
No, Noah is not.
Especially Bum Kim Noah.
Okay. No, he's a, what is your beef with Noah?
I hate him.
It's the hair, isn't it?
No, it's just his style. I liked him in Florida. He's just a bum.
I'd much rather have him than Boozer.
I would rather have him than Boozer too.
All right.
Well, then Boozer's a complete bum.
You still got beat. Well, no, you weren't in Cleveland at the time. I was gonna say you still got beat from how dirty he did Cleveland.
Nah.
He did them real dirty though.
He did.
But no, I got no problem with Noah. I think every team needs someone like Noah. Right? He's annoying. He's high energy. He does the work nobody else wants to do. No, I mean,
that's why I don't like him.
But every great team that we had growing up, they all had that dude, right? Whether it's Lambeer or Rodman or everyone, you need someone down low who's going to get under the skin of the other team a little bit, who's going to get the rebounds and play defense and everything else. Like, you need that.
No, you do.
But anyway.
They call them scrappers, right?
I think they could still beat the Sixers. But there's no way. There's no way they're getting any further than that without Rose.
They're not beating Boston or Atlanta?
No.
Not the way John Lucas has been playing this season?
Listen to what you just said.
Yeah, I know what I said.
No, look,
but they might benefit because of who they're playing in the second round. Whether they play Boston or Atlanta, you know, I think they have a, who do you think, if Chicago, we'll just say win, because you expect Chicago to beat Philly,
I think,
right?
I think they're still favored, absolutely.
How many games?
I think it goes longer now, right? Okay. I mean, you know what? I'll say six.
Yeah.
Whereas six before, I would have said four, maybe five.
Maybe five. Yeah, six is a pretty safe bet. Okay, so say Chicago gets to the second round.
Yeah.
Who do they have a better chance against with this roster, Boston or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Okay.
They have a much better chance against Atlanta. Because
Atlanta's playing with that bitter 2008 mentality against the Celtics. They want that. They want their revenge.
Well, I realized I wanted to go in order of the games were on Saturday and Sunday, but we should probably go in order of the seeds.
Matchups.
Yeah, matchups. So, yeah, if we're talking about Boston and Atlanta, you know, which one would be better for Chicago? I just think that, yeah, I feel like without Rose there, yeah, they still have good guards, but I feel like Rondo, assuming he's not an idiot, I feel like he can just really attack.
Yeah, he'll kill him. I mean, he won't even attack. He won't even need to.
Well,
but attack in the Rondo way, because he's just, I'm just saying, because he's been dishing dimes like crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, just as annoying as Noah can be, you know, KG has evolved into,
Jesus.
I mean, he is, if he's on your team, you love him. Otherwise, you hate him. Right?
Where's Anthony Peeler when you need him?
Anthony Peeler. Anything else you want to say about Chicago? Well, let me ask you this. So, I'll switch around on you. So, regardless of who they face, are you assuming Chicago dances?
Yeah. I don't think Philly's ready yet. I like Philly as a team, but I think the season hurt them, and then, you know, the lack of leadership hurt them. In about another year or two, they pick up a veteran guy or something, they'll be a pretty solid four. They'll kind of be like what Atlanta is now. They'll kind of be in the middle.
I was just going to say, they're 2014's Atlanta, but I think they need to do something with their roster. They got a lot of pieces, but they don't have – you know, they just need some help.
Yeah.
You know, they got to do something.
Yep.
Ideally, you know, they'd move Iguodala, but I don't know who you move him for.
You'd be surprised. Isn't this free agency this year supposed to be good too?
I don't know. They say that every year, but it always disappoints.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, I feel like as they're constructed, it's just a lot of parts, but, you know, I don't think they can really get it done in the playoffs just yet. But so who do you think Chicago would fare better against without Rose, Boston or Atlanta? Well,
probably Atlanta, just because Atlanta's a big team and Chicago can play big. So that works out for their benefit. And Chicago has more playoff experience. And I don't think Atlanta has players that can match up with Chicago. I think Horford is out, right? Horford's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nah.
Josh Smith, he's playing.
Nah. I haven't seen much of him this year. He's been playing good this year?
Yes, his best season ever.
Good.
He doesn't chuck the three quite as much.
Good. Well, he's trying to get out of Atlanta though. So that's why he's playing so well. No, for real. He demanded a trade.
No, he really might be third team all NBA this year.
Wow.
Like he's on that. Like, yeah, this is best year by far.
Okay.
And he dominated. I mean, Garnett had good numbers by the end of the night, but like he dominated Garnett for most of that game.
That's crazy. All right. But yeah, I mean, Chicago has more playoff experience than Atlanta, but Boston, just that like those sneaky, perverted, taking dirty pictures on the train, old men, like they just find, like they're just crafty and they find a way to win. And you can never count out wheelchair Paulie Pierce. And you can never count out Jesus Shuttlesworth, and you can never count out, you know, Kevin Garnett. You can't do it, no matter how old or beat up they are. You can never count them out.
You think they get past Atlanta?
That's the question.
I mean, I don't know.
These seedings really don't tell an obvious story, other than maybe two or three series. This is probably the most wide open playoff I've seen in a while.
Well, I don't know.
You kind of know who's going to be in the championship. There's probably about four teams that can get there, but the path to get there can potentially be very different than what one would think.
Yeah. I think Boston, you know, I think they actually might, I think even though Rondo's out, I think that's the perfect, I think they really show up in this next game, 'cause he got suspended.
Yeah.
I think they really show up just because, you know, they got that veteran pride, man.
Right.
And Garnett, he was really just out of shape, honestly. Like, he took so much time off, he just looked rusty. You know, he'll come back, he'll be a maniac. Like,
this is Doc's last year, right?
Theoretically. I mean, you know, what if he drafts his son? Do you think he won't stay?
Oh, snap. Nah, they won't. How would they get his son?
Oh, he's not going to go that high.
You don't think so?
Kid's crazy overrated.
I mean,
we'll see. Cool.
Like, he's good, but this is actually a deep draft this year.
And that's sort of what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, somewhat.
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. They're talking, like, you know, I'm a UConn guy, and they're talking like Andre Drummond going in the top five, and I think that's just one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Dude didn't do anything this year. I mean, yeah, he's a legit 7-footer and he's athletic, but
So was Hashim Thabeet.
No, Hashim was not athletic.
No, you said a natural 7-footer.
No, I mean, yeah,
No, he's not athletic at all.
No, he wasn't athletic at all, and he was number two, although he at least showed something in college. You know, at worst, you thought you were getting the next Mutombo.
Right. Or the next Manute Bol, or the next...
Yeah,
it was more Manute Bol. He's out the D-League, right?
It's such a shame what happened to him, man.
I think he's out the D-League. I know he was there for a little bit, but I think he got out.
You'd think someone could at least, I don't know. You trying to tell me he can't contribute 10 minutes a game of just block shots? Like, is he that?
And a couple of rebounds.
Like, because there are some real stiffs, like, playing center. Like, there are
You can't even name five great centers in the league right now.
Great? I mean.
Or very, very good. All right. Or really good.
All right, so Dwight Howard.
Okay.
Bynum.
Okay.
Gasol.
Okay.
Hibbert.
Okay.
You don't think Hibbert's good?
I don't think he's really good.
I think he's pretty good.
I think he's solid. I liked Hibbert in college. I liked him in Georgetown.
I like him more now. I thought he was a stiff at Georgetown. That's my word today.
Stiff.
It's true. It's all those big guys who, if you ask them to do more than, you know, two moves, it's over. They just fall apart.
Right.
That's only four, right? How about Bogut?
Bogut?
Yeah.
Oh man.
You consider Bumpkin Noah a center?
Nah.
He's just a power forward.
He's a four.
I mean, he plays five.
Yeah, so does LeBron though.
LeBron does not play the five.
Yes, he does.
Not like Noah. Noah starts at the five.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is like LeBron. I've seen a few games this season where LeBron plays every position on the floor.
As he should.
But I've seen him play five. Well, granted, it was against the Pistons, but I watched the game where he played the five, and he was dope. Granted, he hasn't. Okay, we'll talk about Miami later.
We'll talk about Miami. So, who do you think's winning Boston, Atlanta?
I don't know, man. That might potentially go seven games. I'm gonna give it to Boston just because of, like you said, the veteran pride.
I thought Atlanta looked like they were gonna run them off the court in game one.
But they came back.
I mean, they came back. You know, even if they blow game two, I have a hard time believing that they don't come back home with Rondo back in the lineup. You know, if this is 2-2, I mean, worst case, I think this is 2-2. Going into going back to Atlanta for game five, right? That's worst case.
Yeah, I don't even see that. I think the veteran pride tells them we got to win this for Rondo with game two, and then when Rondo comes back for game three and they're in the Garden, just mop the floor with him.
I mean, because honestly, like Atlanta on paper, they're much more athletic and they cause matchup problems, but it's Atlanta. Like
exactly,
they screw up every year.
Is Pachulia still there?
I don't even know.
If he's still there, then Boston's gonna win.
But at least they got rid of Mike Woodson.
Yeah, but he's actually, you know.
Well, let's talk about Miami, New York.
Okay, let's do it.
If you're listening to this and you're a Knicks fan, I don't want to hear anything right now.
I heard every excuse in the book. Yo, Twitter, shout out to everybody on Twitter who's a Knicks fan. You guys make my day. That was the most fun I've had on Twitter in months. Just the excuses.
Yeah, man. You know, part of my problem is like the real New York fans, I'm cool with their fan base, whatever. My problem is like the media, part of it because there's a lot of media in New York, but just in general, it's because they all grew up when the Knicks were still really good. And I'm not talking like in the 90s. I'm talking in the 70s.
Right.
Right. So they have this like romantic view of what the Knicks are supposed to be. Right, and this romantic view of New York as, you know, the New York fans as being so incredibly passionate and they deserve this, and man, forget it. Like, look,
that's,
you know,
30 years ago.
Exactly, but you know that's sort of the world they live in. But I will say this. I will say this, right? Melo played terribly, but I think he's got in the next two games. I think either Melo or some combination of, you know, Novak and Jared Smith gets hot. Like, I'm not going to be stunned if it's either 1-1 or 2-1 going back into New York.
I would totally agree with that. I think, Novak and – well, Smith was hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, in game one, Novak doesn't miss, so.
No, but, you know, because here's going to be the storyline. Like, it'll either be 1-1 or 2-1. It'll be going back into – so either game three or game four, back in New York. And you're just going to hear every media guy get all excited and they're going to crow about the Knicks. Because this happens every year.
Well, you know who? You know Lynn is coming back for game four.
Anyway.
So with Shumpert out.
No, listen. Lynn actually. Well, I want to talk about Lynn in just a second. Real quick. I want to just. Can we all acknowledge that even if Carmelo Anthony just goes off, like he is just incredibly overrated. We can all sort of acknowledge that, right? Are we cool with that?
Honestly, I think he's based off of his potential. I don't think Melo has had a super breakout year yet. The year, not a top five player in the league year yet.
I don't think he is. Like, to me, he's a ball hawk. Like,
he is.
He's a black hole of offense. Like, we talked about this when we did our last NBA podcast around the All-Star break. And we sort of asked how Lynn and him would sort of commingle. And it turns out we didn't really get too much of a chance to figure that out.
Right.
But No, you know, he doesn't play defense.
Right.
He doesn't pass.
Right.
And I mean, and it's really ironic. I think it's actually great that he's paired with Mike Woodson as his coach now, because remember Mike had the ISO Joe offense in Atlanta.
Yes.
He is the Mitt Romney of Joe Johnson's. Like, he is the rich man's Joe Johnson. So they can run the ISO Melo offense, and
Melo's more serviceable than Joe Johnson, so it works.
More serviceable isn't the way to put it. Like, Melo is he's very gifted as a scorer, don't get me wrong. So, you know, yeah, if he catches fire, sure, anything's possible. Are they winning this series? Not a chance in the world.
Not at all.
But I think they're getting swept.
They'll probably win one.
No, I think they.
I've been calling a sweep.
I think they get at least one game.
They'll get one. Just because I don't like Knicks fans.
So, I want to talk about Lynn real quick. I think the Knicks are in a tough spot with him.
They are.
Now they're lucky because he's gonna be a free agent, but due to the rules, they don't. He really just can't get paid all that much.
Why?
Because he was a second round pick, and this would be his first big contract. So there's like limits as to how much he can make.
Okay.
It's because of what happened to Gilbert Arenas. Remember, he was a second round pick, and then Washington gave him that just gigantic offer.
Yeah, 130. What was it, 135 or something?
I just can't even remember how big it was. And you know, and the Warriors couldn't do. You know, what were they gonna do with that?
Right.
So because of that, there's a limit to how much he can go. So, you know, the Knicks can afford him, but, you know, he was playing the way he was playing in a Mike D'Antoni offense.
Exactly.
So they can't get rid of him because he makes so much money for them.
Right.
But I don't understand. I mean, we talked about this. I thought this was going to be a problem with D'Antoni as a coach, but I don't know what role he plays on that team at all. Right.
Well,
I mean,
they've got – how many guards do they have? Five?
Well,
six?
They can get rid of some of them because, I mean, for starters, they're giving playing time to Baron Davis.
Nah. Baron Davis.
I don't care what he did 3 or 4 years ago. I just don't.
Look, like I said on Twitter, if Jadakiss can still get pubbed for verses that he did in 1998, I can give Baron Davis the benefit of the doubt for his performance against Dallas in 2000 and – was that seven?
I'll give him all the credit. That was fantastic, and I will forever remember his posterization of Kirilenko.
Yep.
Was it Kirilenko?
Yep.
No, wait. It was against Dallas.
No. It was Dallas. It was it wasn't Dirk. It was I don't know. They had a goofy white dude. But he did, I want to say he did posterize Kirilenko, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that was the next round.
Yeah, because Utah killed him.
No, I'll give him all the credit in the world, but he's not in that kind of shape, and for whatever reason, he's just not that kind of motivated. He's kind of motivated, but let's be honest. Like, if he was really playing up to the way that he could play, I mean, he's in New York, he's on a playoff team that really needs good guard play right now. Shouldn't he have whipped himself into better shape? Shouldn't he be? You know, I just don't get, like, if this isn't motivation for you, what is?
Who's the best? Who's the best backcourt for New York?
Right now.
If you got
I don't even know who's left. Hold on. Yeah, I would have said Shumpert and
let's do without injuries.
Oh.
And then we'll do with injuries.
Counting coaches?
No. Not of all time. I mean just
What I'm saying, I mean, without knowing how Lynn plays against
Woodson,
Lynn and Shumpert.
Better than Landry Fields?
I think Shumpert's better defensively.
No, Landry Fields is trash. He's horrible.
He's Tony not Douglas, terrible.
Yes, he is. He's horrible.
He's not terrible.
I agree with you on that though. Lynn proved himself to be serviceable under the right system.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to be like he was for that 8-game stretch.
Not at all.
But
Miami took a soul.
Is he a, you know, average or maybe slightly better than average point guard? Sure.
Sure, he's not bad.
Definitely serviceable.
So him and Shumpert, and I like Shumpert, and it sucks that he tore his ACL. Shumpert.
And then you would bring Novak as the third guard.
As the two? He just stand there?
That's okay.
Yeah, stand there. Nobody's going to guard him.
Because if they
they're
play,
gonna collapse
they
and
play
then...
if they play ISO Mellow, then you know he just sits to just find the opposite side of the court
and reap the benefit. Yep. Okay. So I mean, look at this.
We haven't even talked about who we think is gonna win. Who we think is gonna win? Well, no. So Miami, New York.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Miami yet. We're so.
Let's talk about Miami.
All right.
Wait, you got something else you want to say about New York?
Nah, I just think the Knicks are hilarious and their fans. They're hilarious. I'm sorry.
I kind of feel bad for them to a certain extent, but I mean,
nah, I don't.
How much do you think they regret Amare's contract right now?
This is what I don't like. This is what I don't like. They are some of the most fickle fans in the history of the world. All they did, yo, we got our own big three. Chris Paul, Melo, and Stoudemire. You got Stoudemire, you're happy. You got Melo, you're happy. You didn't get Paul, but you got Chauncey Billups, who's still solid. Mm. Solid,
all right,
solid,
yeah.
solid. Nowhere near Chris Paul, but serviceable. You know, two and a fourth. Not a big three, but, you know, two and an eighth or something. Now, all of a sudden, one minute it was under the D'Antoni system. It was get rid of Amari. He's a bum. He's hurt. He's trash. Get rid of Melo. He's a bum. He's trash.
Yeah,
now under another system, it's Lin Sanity's dead. You know, bring back Amari. All we need is a point guard. Like, y'all have 10 point guards on a 12-man roster. Like, they're just so fickle. Like, nothing is ever right for them. They are the type of people who play NBA Live and they create the guys and they edit the stats to where everybody's 99.
No, come on. You know that I spent so much time playing NBA Live 97
for yeah.
PlayStation. So I put myself as the point guard.
Yeah, but how old were you when you did that, Doc?
I was 13.
Exactly. Exactly. To this day, if I create a, I don't even think you can do that nowadays. I think
yeah,
with
you
2K.
Can, well, I don't I know mean, if you with, can get them part. You can't give them like, you know, 99 across the board or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to do that since like the early Allen Iverson 2K games or whatever. But, you know, they're like grown men doing this, like with girlfriends and credit scores and stuff. And they're like, I got to make Carmelo be all 99s. And no, get out of here. And they like make Walt Frazier and like they they trade for like classic Knicks. They still hate Charles Smith. You know, they love John Starks and get out of here. If anybody can find that Reggie Miller shirt, there was a Reggie Miller shirt that was out a few years ago that had the picture of him doing the choke sign. If anybody can find that, please let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll pay top dollar for that.
Do you follow Walt Frazier on Twitter?
No, but people that I do follow retweet him all the time. Him and Bill Walton.
He is fantastic.
Yo, them suits, man. Who's worse, him or Sager?
I was just gonna say we could talk about. Well, we don't need to talk about when we talk about the Clippers later. But you hear Paul throwing shots at Sager?
Yeah, he's starting fast. I'm glad somebody finally did it.
I mean, he was feeling good. You know, he was feeling good. He was in the zone. Let's talk about Miami.
All right. Yeah, let's talk about them. Because I'll spend another 20 minutes on the Knicks. So,
you got a lot of hate in your blood.
I do. I need to get rid of that.
I mean, they should really just, you know, fulfill their destiny. They should try to trade and acquire Noah. You could just get everybody you hate in one.
Dog. If I see Bum Kim Noah in a Knicks uniform, let them get Jeff Hornacek as an assistant coach. I hate Jeff Hornacek.
With those short shorts.
Yes. And Greg goes to tag. I just hate that whole who's the black guy with the who had the shades on the ball today? I can't think of his name right now.
Horace Grant?
No. He played for he was on the 97 Utah roster.
They had a dude with shades?
Yeah, they had a black guy and he had shades and he had a bald head. He was like a four.
Alright, hold on. You make me look this up.
Yeah, no. I am too.
That's why we got the internet. Yo, I love how you just type in 97 Jazz roster. Alright. He was a Ford? Yeah. Antoine Carr?
Yes.
All right.
Hate him. Hate him too.
How do you do that? See, now you got me looking up stats. This could be dangerous. He,
Jacques Vaughn.
Oh, man. This roster is great. 97. Yeah, Hornacek, Malone, Stockton, Byron Russell.
Yeah.
Antoine Carr, Ostertag, Shannon Anderson.
Yeah.
Howard Eisley.
Yeah.
Oof.
Man, listen.
Anyway.
Whatever. I don't care. I hate him now. I hate him now, but 90s basketball is just what it is.
So Miami.
Yeah, Miami. I'm sorry. Miami. The Miami Heat.
So, obviously, LeBron had a great first game.
Yes, he did.
Bosch didn't give him anything.
No, he didn't.
He's a bum.
Oh, come on, man.
He's a bum. You know me. I've been headlining the get rid of Bosch, you know, campaign for a while now. his destiny is to be the best guy on a bad team. Like, you know those players.
Yes.
He's a rich man, Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Oh, you're killing me. I can't let you disrespect
Sharif Abdul-Rahim. He is a quintessential, like, good numbers on a bad team guy. Bosch, he's great. If
everybody else sucks and they grade him on a curve.
No, you know, I think he's a talented guy, but he's not a superstar, but he unfortunately, you know what it is? He's plays good enough and has good enough stats and gets the all-star appearances, like the lower level all-star appearance, but still the all-star appearances. Right. So he's quote unquote good enough that you have to pay him. Like, yes. He's good enough. And, you know, the Heat have it structured in a way, so they already got LeBron away, so they don't need him to be like this. But his general problem is he's the type of player who it's sort of like what Philly is going through and what, you know, what Indiana has, but a little bit better than that, where, like, yeah, he's good, but he's not great.
Yeah.
Right? Unfortunately, you know, the skills that he brings to the table are not the skills that the Heat necessarily need. You know, they don't need another tall guy who likes to shoot jumpers and who needs the offense run through them. Like, ideally, they need a player to do the dirty work.
And they have that with Turiaf and Haslam.
I mean, good players.
They're paying Ronnie Turiaf $300,000?
That's a bargain.
Jesus.
That's a bargain.
That is a bargain. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he's another one of those players. Like, he just gets in. He's an energy guy, but something about him, I just want to punch him.
Man, I'm mad because somebody on my Twitter calls him Ricky the Dragon Spoelstra. he's not. What's up with Eddie Curry? Why have I only seen Eddie Curry in one game this whole season? He lost all that weight.
Yeah.
I just want to see him play. Give him a fair shot.
Yeah, he's a lost cause. I mean, on that team where they need a big man.
Right.
Right. Where they would ideally love to have a guy they could throw in there for 10 minutes when Bosch rests and maybe even give one of the other, you know, we'll call him the big two and a quarter, a rest and give him some points, but it's just not happening for them.
He's just a horrible coach, that's all.
LeBron had something to prove.
Listen, the Heat are winning the championship this year.
Here's what I want to ask you. What if they don't?
The slander is going to be at an all-time high. It does, but you know what's funny though? It's the social media thing, because if Twitter and Facebook were around in the 90s, we would not look at Jordan, Magic, Bird, Ewing. We wouldn't look at those players and those athletes in the same light that we do now. There's still a mystique to them and the nostalgia factor. You know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, our kids are gonna ask us about, you know, oh, Kobe Bryant's going to the Hall of Fame. What is it about Kobe? And we're going to romanticize, and they're just going to show his positives.
I'm not going to romanticize Kobe Bryant. No.
Okay, I just gave Kobe as an example. Maybe Kobe was a bad example because people have such a love-hate relationship with him. But, you know, Player X, Chris Bosh, like, when they show his career highlights on ESPN 10 years from now, 15 years from now,
That's like, the most depressing highlight show ever.
But it's gonna say it's gonna say like 9 all-star appearances, however many rings, this many stat, da da da, average this, average that, and he's gonna look like a better player, and nobody's gonna remember the gay jokes and the Bosch spice and all the, you know, the animated GIFs and the tumblers and all that other stuff. Nobody's gonna remember that. All they're gonna look is the stats. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if ESPN went to that low and just posted all the, you know, unintentional weird Chris Bosh moments and the tongue wagging and all that other stuff. I don't know at this point.
I don't need Tumblr leaking into ESPN. That's already, man.
Well, Tumblr's are,
that's like the real, that's like the most toxic combination I could possibly manage.
Jesus.
No. So what I was going to say is, you know, I'm not a Miami fan. I'm not a Heat fan. I like LeBron just because I think he's incredibly talented, but I really just want the Heat to win just so everybody can shut up about this whole nonsense. You know, every middle-aged white guy with a blog or a microphone has been on LeBron pretty much since he left Cleveland, really even before then, because he was supposed to be the next Jordan or the next Magic or some unholy combination of the two of them.
Right.
And he hasn't won a gazillion championships by now. And, you know, he dared to leave Cleveland and all this nonsense. And, yeah, he brought some of it upon himself, but don't forget he's a young, rich kid, relatively young, rich kid who's had everything handed to him his whole life. So, yeah.
So he's gonna
do some stupid things from time to time.
Exactly. But I think
– But ahead. I just want to say this. You know, I can't remember if I made this point when we did the last NBA podcast, but, you know, I really think part of it is just – I think it's how a certain generation – even not even a certain generation, but – I'll just say older generations. I think it's their relationships or what they think the ideal relationship with an athlete is supposed to be, mm-hmm. and how LeBron and really other people from this generation refuse to do that. And I think that a lot of that's honestly at its core what this lockout was really about. You know, it's not that the small market teams need help or anything like that. It's that a player dared to take his life into his own hands and decided to say, you know what? I could stay in Cleveland with an owner who's a buffoon in a team that's not well run. Let's see. I could do what all the old media guys want me to do and go to New York and save the Knicks, except, oh yeah, they're run by James Dolan, another buffoon. Or I could go play in Miami where Pat Riley's running the show. They're a class organization and they know what they're doing.
Right.
Why is that controversial?
Like, well, you know what it
is. You know, and now look, something else, you know, and then the Melo thing happened. But I don't know how else they want that to happen. I mean, because here's what it boils down to is there are certain players in the NBA who are responsible for an inordinate amount of a team's or even the league's success. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going to be able to call some shots. That's the way the world works. And that's the way that the NBA is going to work. Mm-hmm. Right. I think Dwight Howard, I don't think that his initial sort of thing to say, look, I'd like to be traded. I don't think that that's necessarily a terrible thing. I think the way that it all played out and the drama, I think that's just stupid, immature, childish nonsense. But the whole concept of him wanting to play where he wants to play, I don't understand why this has to be indentured servitude, right? I mean, all right, he got drafted by Orlando. They have done – you all right there?
Yeah, I'm good.
I thought I was making you fall over. he got drafted by Orlando. They haven't exactly lit the world on fire with their you know, picks and everything else, and he clearly doesn't get along with his coach. So let the man move on. It's a free it's a free country.
Right.
I don't understand this. But that's my
look.
Go ahead.
This is what it is. It's basically the fact of money is supposed to shut you up. Actually, you know, Floyd Mayweather said this the other night and it makes total sense. Like, as an athlete, they pay you X amount of dollars, and because they pay you X amount of dollars, you are subject to whatever anybody else has to say, feel, or wants to do to you, and you can't respond because you're making X amount of dollars. So I should be happy that I'm making $1 million, even though I'm being belittled and disrespected every second while I own the $1 million. You know, and that's pretty much what it is. So now, because I'm making $1 million and I want to decide where I want to make that $1 million at, it's a problem. Like, you should be happy that somebody's paying you $1 million. No, like, you know, if you have a job, if you work for a company, this is what people need to understand about rappers and what they need to understand about you are a brand. So you are working for some sort of entity. You're working for this corporation. And if this corporation isn't treating you right, yeah, they're paying you X amount of dollars. The salary's great. But if you come to work, you know, there's no forward motion in your career, you're miserable, the corporation is run bad, you're going to want to take your talent somewhere else. And if somebody's offering you maybe a little less money, but in the long term, you can accomplish some other goals that you want to get, because you know, believe it or not, money isn't the end all be all for everybody in the world. So if I take a slight pay cut, I'm still making a lot of money, maybe not as much as I was making at Corporation A, but I can do more for myself and for my family and even for my legacy, because this is really what it's about. LeBron wants to win rings. You know, how can we be mad at that?
Yeah, I mean, did anybody really think he was going to win some rings in Cleveland? That team does
well,
not
I mean,
know
that's
what
they're
doing.
That's why they brought in Byron Scott. Somebody thought it.
You remember when they refused to part with J.J. Hickson?
Yo, you know what? Hold on. Because when – okay, let me tell you, because I was – you know, I get all the Cleveland games on TV. At that point in time, J.J. Hickson was nice. Should they have made that trade for Amari? Abso-freaking-lutely. That was stupid, but they saw more – long term because of Amar, probably because of his injuries, I guess. But I mean, I agree. That was probably the bonehead decision, because LeBron was asking at that point, please send me some better guys.
Instead they got him washed up Antoine Jameson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Somebody he don't even like Antoine Jameson. Why would you trade for somebody on from a team that your star player hates? Those old, they weren't rivalries because Washington never won, but.
Deshaun Stevenson and LeBron. Yeah, they used to go back and forth.
He got a ring before LeBron did. That hurt my feelings, man.
He's a clown, too. So Miami, New York. Miami's winning?
Five games. At the most.
You don't think they can get one in the Garden?
They can get one in the Garden.
All right.
They can get one.
All right. And the last series in Eastern Conference, Indiana-Orlando.
Yes.
Indiana should be ashamed of themselves.
I love this Pacers team. I don't know. I didn't see this game, so I don't know what happened. When I saw that they started Big Baby Davis at center, no, I should call him Glenn Davis because I'm not calling a grown man Big Baby. When I saw that they were starting him at center, I was like, I don't even need to watch this. What happened?
I can't explain it. The Pacers, you know, they should really be ashamed of themselves. You know,
dude, what happened?
You know what the problem is? And here's actually why starting Davis works them at center. Because Hibbert obviously has the size on him, but he doesn't have the lower body strength.
And Davis is more mobile than Hibbert.
Which is shocking, because Davis is all lower body.
Right.
So Davis can keep him out of he can keep him away from the basket.
Right.
And Hibbert's just not good enough. He doesn't have that sort of turnaround, like, you know, 10 foot game. He's not there yet.
Absolutely.
Now, they're another team that, so even though normally I would want Indiana to win, I kind of want Orlando to win, because I think Dwight Howard's overrated. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I think he's one of the best centers, if not probably the best center in the NBA. I'll grant you that. But that doesn't, I don't know. I just don't think offensively he is where I thought he would be by this point. He has coasted a lot on his athletic abilities.
I'd agree with that.
So I think the next couple of years will actually be really interesting for him. Right? Because his athleticism will start to tail off a little bit. Because he's 26 now.
Yeah.
And he's been playing NBA basketball since he was 18, right?
Yeah, he's straight out of high school, right?
Right. So, you know, he's starting to get some years on those knees. And it's not to say he's still not in the prime of his career. And I'm not saying like next year he's going to, you know, turn into Kevin Garnett. But like he only has so much time before he needs to develop, like, you know, an actual offensive game.
Right.
Otherwise, he'll just be, you know, the original Blake Griffin. but except he's obviously like he can really affect, you know, defense of the game. And offensively, it works because Orlando has sort of structure the whole team around him, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just something about him that just bothers me. So just for that sake, I'd love to see him win without it. Because I think that would be hysterical, right? Because what everybody assumes happens this offseason is they fire Van Gundy, right?
Yeah, I heard that he went back and said that he wants to be traded at the end of the season. After all that stuff where he did the press conference, said he wanted to stay, then he announced right before his back surgery, he announced that he wanted to get traded. Or he hasn't made it official, but like people within the organization know that he's gonna ask to be traded after the season.
The problem is who trades for him? Who's gonna give up enough that Orlando's gonna feel comfortable with it?
Because would you say that he's in that Chris Bosh category where he doesn't play as well, but he warrants?
Nah, he's better than that. He's better than that. But the problem is their whole team is structured around a big man like that, which means they have to get a legit big man in return.
Right.
And there was one team that was dangling a legit big man. And that would be the Lakers, except Bynum has turned into a monster.
In the bad way?
No, Bynum's incredible.
No, I'm talking about his attitude and stuff.
Nah, never mind the attitude. Dude can play.
Were they giving up Bynum and it wasn't Bynum and Gasol, it was Bynum and somebody else, right?
Yeah, I think if it was Bynum and Gasol, then the idea was they were going to have to take back something else. So it would have been Bynum and Gasol, and they would have got unfortunately for the Lakers, it would have been Turkoglu, would have been Howard, and probably something else.
Probably your man, Jameer.
Probably.
Yeah, that would have been all bad for. Well, you know what? That actually would have been a good trade. Now that I think about it.
That's sort of the problem is, you know, they're not going to take Brook Lopez back, right, from the Nets, right? That's just not happening.
Oh my God! What do you think of that logo?
I like it.
Yeah, it's different.
For all the nonsense that the Nets are and everything historically, they're gonna sell so much merchandise to say Brooklyn basketball in the front of it.
Oh yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting on the Papoose Brooklyn Nets.
Oh man, they could have him do like the official like team like song.
Yeah,
he could be like on the Jumbotron when the team gets introduced.
Yeah, with a leather Brooklyn Nets fitted and a black and white Geno Green hoodie with the Brooklyn Nets. Or he would have the jeans. Remember the jeans from the early 2000s with all the NBA logos stitched on it?
No, they had the leather jackets like that too.
They did have the leather jackets like that.
But no, so back to Indiana Orlando. I think Indiana should win this series.
They should.
The fact that they didn't, I expect them to really come out. I think this is 1-1 going back to Orlando. And honestly, like, I have no idea. Indiana has so little playoff experience.
But they're really good.
They're really, I know, but they really just, oh.
I think that might have just been first game jitters. You know, Orlando's comfortable in this 4-5-6 spot.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, they got lots of guys with experience.
Yeah, so, you know, Indiana maybe just had, you know, rookie jitters.
So assuming Miami beats New York, who's a better matchup for them? Indiana or Orlando?
Orlando's the better matchup for Miami. It's easier.
I'm not ready for the state of Florida in a playoff game like that. It's just.
They'll beat Orlando in five.
What about Indiana?
They'll beat Indiana in six.
Six. So you've got. Make sure I got this right. You have Boston, Miami in the finals? Chicago?
Man, it might be Boston. It all depends on how Chicago plays. It's too early for me to tell, but I really don't want it to be Boston. If it's Boston, Miami, Boston's going to get run out the gym.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it would fit all the storylines for LeBron, you know, to sort of avenge that. Demon.
Well, that was supposed to be last year, because remember when they won, they celebrated like they won a championship, and everybody was mad at them.
Yeah,
but I get why they celebrated, because they like Boston was a brick wall for Wade and Bron for years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll compare it to. I mean, it's not quite as momentous, but you know, I'm a Red Sox fan, and when the Red Sox finally beat the Yankees in 2004, we celebrated right. like that was it. You know?
Oh man, you're a Red Sox fan?
Yeah. What do you think? I'm a Yankees fan?
No. I just don't like y'all because of the 2004 World Series.
Don't be salty about that.
I am salty about
that. They had no chance.
We didn't have any chance. And that doesn't mean I can't not like y'all.
Are you happy that Pujols is struggling right now?
Nah, I'm not really. You know what? I'm happy. Pujols got us 2 rings. Go to California, get your family out there and get your money and retire.
All right.
I'm not mad at Pujols. Everybody else is mad, and I'm not mad at Pujols. I'd have did the same thing. What else is there left to accomplish? This is the same thing we talked about with LeBron. Was it loyalty? You know what I'm saying? Like you like we've always been like in the middle echelon. We can never get past the Brewers. We would barely beat the Astros.
Astros were tough, man.
They were tough. But you know, he got us 2 rings. We hadn't won a ring since 84. So yo, you know, if they were dangling 10 years, $240 whatever million dollars at me to move to California, bye.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, is that what are they called?
Yeah, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's the worst.
And it's a 162 game season, and what are they like 20 games into the season?
Yeah, I know. Everybody out here freaked out because the Red Sox stunk up the joint for the first like week and a half. But
get out of here, man.
I honestly can't pay much attention to baseball till July.
Yeah, don't talk to me till late summer, man.
All-Star break, and then we can figure it out.
Yeah, get out of here. So, yeah. Anyway, okay. So yeah, what about you? What about you in the East? What do you have? Who do you have in your final, and who do you have coming out the East?
So, assuming Boston gets past Atlanta, then I think they take care of Chicago.
Okay.
But if it's Atlanta-Chicago, I think that's a real interesting series. But I'll say Boston-Miami, then I think it's Miami. I just hope it's Miami. Because I don't know if I can really take – like, honestly, my worst-case scenario is that it's the old fart finals where you've got – God help us if it's the Celtics and the Lakers, man. You understand? I'm not a Celtics fan, so no living way. In Connecticut, I cannot handle a Celtics-Lakers final. I just can't.
They already had that in 2008. The refs and Tim Donaghy are not going to allow that.
And 09.
Yeah, 09 is what I mean. Because that was the year of the puppets.
Those were really great. Wanted
those were great.
They
really wanted that Kobe-LeBron final, which would have been dope. But, you know, in retrospect, Lakers would have killed them.
So if Rose is healthy, you think it's Chicago-Miami in the finals?
Yeah, without question.
And who do you think wins that?
Miami, but it goes 7.
Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would have been a really dope series.
See, if it goes 7, that meant it would have been the Bulls at home in game 7.
And that's the thing about Miami. Miami has to kill everybody.
Mm.
They have to destroy everybody. They cannot linger around and take games off for 2 reasons. One, because the way that they're structured and the way the Spoelstra plays them, they're not good late. And that's not a LeBron snipe. They just fall apart. Huh?
You got beef with Spoelstra?
I do. I don't like Spoelstra.
Tell the audience why.
He's just a bad coach. His rotations suck. The players don't respect him, and he just sits there with that smug on his face and like, nah, get out of here. It's mostly because of his rotations. I don't like his rotations. Why do you have I just don't like his rotations.
Look, as bad as you think he might be, I don't even think he's one of the 4 worst coaches in this postseason.
He's not. He's just not a good fit for the Heat.
Okay.
The worst coach in the NBA is Vinny the Black. I hate Del Negro.
I was going to bring him up, but you know, your man Mike Brown is coaching still.
I'll take Mike Brown before
Vinny Del Negro.
Del Negro, yeah.
And you know, I'm not really a fan of Scotty Brooks.
Really?
No. Nah. But anyway, so let's talk about Vinny the Black.
Yeah,
that's
Vinny,
a great name.
That's what Del Negro means. Del Negro. I don't know why I keep calling him Del Negro.
Because you want us to call him Vinny the Black. So... You going to give him some props for winning that game last night, though?
No.
Well, why not?
Because Chris Paul bossed up on him and said, put your starters in the game so we can win. And he said, okay. And he put him in.
Well, but look at it this way, right? All the talking heads, all the old men, Like, they all got mad at Thibodeau when he left Rosen. So, isn't conventional wisdom, all right, we're getting pummeled on the road. Chris Paul isn't exactly a spring chicken anymore, right? He's got bad wheels. So, we're going to play it safe. We're down 20, whatever. Let's just cool up. Let's get the bottom part of the rotation some playoff experience, and you know, if we're lucky, we get it under 20.
Sure, because
that's conventional wisdom.
Sure, because that's what the Knicks did. What the Knicks did. So I'm not mad at him for doing it. I am.
I'm being rhetorical. I love what Chris Paul did.
I love it too.
I didn't catch the end of the game, sadly. I had to rewatch it. But man, listen, I watched Mad Men and then I was tired. I'm an old man, dude. And Mad Men, you can't miss Mad Men.
Right, I dig it.
But no, even the part, you know, I watched up through parts of the third quarter, and Chris Paul just refused to give up. Like, everybody else in this team, you could tell. Like, they were, you know, they were packing the talent. Heads were down, you know. No energy, no nothing. And he was just willing himself to the line. Just like, he was doing whatever it took. And he dragged, I mean, you know, and then, you know, Nick Young catches fire.
I love Nick Young.
Well, he, you know, Bill Simmons likes to call guys like that the irrational confidence guys. Right? J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Jason Terry.
Yeah.
These are the guys you want to bring off the bench, and because if you start them, they can cause too much damage.
Yeah.
But when everything's, you know, if you get them, you want to get like that really solid, like 8 minute spurt off the bench. Let them get their big flurry points and then sit them down before they cool off.
Right.
And he played that to the T. He got what, like 9 points in like a minute or something like that.
Yeah, he had 3 threes.
And you know what's terrible is like that's going to give him the wrong kind of confidence, because he already has confidence. He already thinks he should be shooting the ball every time he comes down the court.
Yeah, he wants that. He wants that big He's a good player, but he thinks he's a big contract player, and he's not.
No, he's not. You know, if he's your, can you win with him starting as your two guard?
No.
If he's your sixth man, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, that should be $5-7 million a year. I can't believe that's what that would go for.
Wow.
Oh my God. But think about it, right? That's how much that's how it works these days.
Yeah,
that's depressing.
I gotta get this money, son.
No, he already has enough confidence. He doesn't need any more. So I'm totally prepared. So, you know, Vinny has to really sort of be careful, right? Because he's gonna be throwing up those LeBron heat checks. Like he's gonna come down the court next time he's in the, you know, for game two, and he's just gonna be launching them, and he's not gonna make them.
Right.
He's gonna fall back down to earth.
Right.
But nah, you know, great performance by the Clippers, but all credit due to them. But
you know, you gotta.
How are you gonna let a team come back at home like that?
They got lazy. They thought the game was in the bag.
They laid up on the gas and that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And it only takes. And it was a slow. You ever look at like. Like tangled up cords. When cords get tangled up, it's not sudden. It's slow and methodical. Before you realize it, you're like, oh my God, how did this knot of cords get over here? Like, that just happened to me last week.
All right.
That's why I use that.
I'm trying to roll with your analogy. Keep going.
So that's pretty much what happened. It was like, you know, a 3-point play here. Reggie Evans was playing really dope. You know, getting rebounds, putbacks, defense, block shots.
He was doing the dirty game.
Yeah,
all the stuff nobody wants to do.
And that was my question. Like, does the NBA have any goons in today's league?
I mean,
and the general consensus is that Reggie Evans is the closest to a goon that we see that's like a classic goon, not these curve. You know, Ron Artest goons, like, you know, not the reckless goons, like, you know, I'm gonna go out there to hurt you.
You're talking like the Charles Oakley types.
Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, those are my two favorite goons.
I think Oakley's the best.
He's better than Mason, absolutely.
Mason.
People are still scared of Charles Oakley.
Well, yeah.
Because he looks just like he did in 1994. So.
Nah, so Memphis. Oh, man. And, you know, they're a trendy pick to go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're a good team.
When they're clicking, they ideally, you know, they've got two legit post players. And I know you don't like Gasol.
No, I love Mark.
Oh, okay.
I like Mark better than Bynum and in Howard. I've liked Mark Gasol since the 08 Olympics.
You think Gasol is better than Dwight Howard?
He has a better post set than both of them. He's better in the post than Bynum and
you think
Howard.
He's a better player?
He's better in the post.
You're not answering
his
my
defense
question.
Needs some work.
You think?
His defense needs a lot of work. But no, in the post, get him the ball in the post. If I want a post player, I'm going to take him.
All right. Well, or Zach Randolph, right?
Or Zach Randolph. Z-Bo. I don't know why that name is just... Where's the Bo from? Where did they get Randolph? Where did they get Bo from Randolph?
I don't know, man. What was I going to say? Oh, we got the... I was trying to figure out who the Spain national team. Because if I understand this correctly, I think the Spain national team... is just completely ridiculous, right? Because it's somehow they have Serge Ibaka playing for them as well. I don't know how that's possible, but that means their front line is the Gasol brothers and Serge Ibaka.
Yeah,
that's not even fair.
Yeah,
that's pretty nasty. I mean, man.
Yeah, Libby's gonna be dope this year.
But no, let me say this about the Grizzlies. So they're an unusual team. They're two teams in one. Like, part of the team wants to get out and run, but Z-Bo's not running anywhere. But he's probably the most reliable scorer.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
There's a player for the Grizzlies who only makes $48,000.
That's just not even possible.
Yeah.
That's the minimum is like $200,000, $300,000.
I know. Lester Hudson. It says he makes $48,000.
Was he a D-League player getting called up?
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
Me neither. Now their roster, like, you know, look, I'm a UConn guy, so I should be a big fan of Rudy Gay, but he is.
And he's all right.
He is a notch. To me, he's a notch above, like, Iguodala.
Yes.
Again, he is the same sort of problem where, like, you have to pay him a lot of money, but I don't really know what you're getting for that money.
Right. You're getting Joe Johnson light.
You're getting 18 points a game, no matter what. Like, that's just, I mean, which is great, but he's not going to lead you down there, right? And, you know, Conley, I like how he's playing defense, but I just don't.
You know, nah, Conley was lights out yesterday.
I know yesterday, but I'm saying in general, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like they're just a piece or two. Like, they're just weirdly constructed. But, I mean, theoretically, they match up really well. If they can get past this, then they match up really well with who they would theoretically who they could possibly be facing down the line.
They're playing San Antonio in the next round.
Oh, so you think
they beat San Antonio?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. So you think Memphis beats the Clippers?
I was talking about whoever the opponent is going to be.
Sure.
This series is going to be San Antonio. San Antonio, I don't even think we need to even talk about that series.
Well, I want to talk about it real quick, just because. You know, if you didn't pay that much attention to the NBA this year, if it's just sort of like, you know, if you're a fan, but maybe you didn't catch it, whatever, the Spurs are totally different this year.
Totally different.
When you think Spurs, you think boring. You think defense. You think old. Nah. Tony Parker, he's a new man.
Tony Parker's 29. I don't know what it is about divorce in these people. Like, they're getting divorced and they're just like, I'm free. You got Nas rapping better than he's ever rapped in the last 10 years. You got Tony Parker playing like this. Like, what's going on?
I figured out what bothers me about the Don.
What is it?
It's the drums.
Really?
The drum pattern.
The snares and
just
then
the actual, like, combo, like the pattern itself, it's off. It's like lacking rhythm. Listen to it. It's weird.
I just played it today on the way home from work. I did.
Because ideally, that beat should be dope.
That beat is dope.
Nah, the drums, man. I can't. It bothers me. It does not sound right. But anyway. You brought up Nas. You gonna bring up Ross too? We can complete the trilogy. Maybe I could talk about Kingdom Come. You know. Wasn't gonna say.
Oh, you were talking about San Antonio.
No, yeah. Tony Parker. He is. You know, he's getting some love, not as the MVP, but as a MVP candidate. You know, if you were gonna name five players, he's gonna be in the top five, and for good reason. He destroyed. Like, he owned that game. He ran that entire game. The Jazz, they're another oddly constructed team. They got three players who are way too similar. Right? They got Favors, they got Millsap, and they got Jefferson. Yeah. And you know, they're running, believe it or not, they're running some lineups where they're playing all three of them.
Really?
Yeah. Because they're just trying to go big. I mean, they're playing to their strengths, right? They're just trying to go big. But, you know, I was really confused when they had Jefferson and they re-signed Millsap to that big contract. And then I was even more confused when they traded Darren Williams and got Favors. I was like, and, you know, Favors, I thought he was a bust, but he's showing some flashes. Like, he looks good, but he's never going to get enough playing time.
Right.
Right. They get, you know, he was the big centerpiece of that deal, and he's playing behind your two best players. Like, I don't understand how that works. But no, you're right. San Antonio's going to win. The only question is it four or five games?
Four.
Only thing I'll say is that Utah home court advantage is no joke.
Yeah, but they're not this is probably the wackest Utah team I've seen.
It is, but there is nothing to do in Utah, so those fans come out. And that stadium is weird. The arena. Yeah, I've been in it. It's really steep.
Okay.
So it feels like the fans are right on top of you. Feels more like a college arena than it does an NBA arena.
Wow.
Well, because it's weird. Like, because we were up in the nosebleeds, and man, I felt like I was like up on a mountain up there. It was crazy. I feel like that. I feel like the arena is just constructing away. I mean, their fans are real rowdy, and
they are.
Like, they got nothing good going on. they don't. Listen, don't let anybody ever tell you differently. I'm sorry if anybody who's listening to this, although I doubt it, is living in Salt Lake City, but you never know. Listen, I apologize. My mom lives like 30 minutes north of there. There is nothing going on in Salt Lake City.
Can't be worse than West Virginia. My brother-in-law's in West Virginia.
In terms of like an NBA city.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The only city I could say that could probably be more boring is Oklahoma City. And I can slander Oklahoma City because I used to live in Oklahoma.
Jeez.
You
can make it down there.
So real quick, Memphis Clippers, who you got winning? Yeah. You would before the series started, you were going to say Memphis and probably five or six, right?
Nah, I would have said Memphis in six or seven.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
But now I think we all forgot.
I believe that game. Go ahead.
I think we all forgot how good Chris Paul is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He used to take some of those Hornets teams on his back and just go.
He almost beat the Spurs by himself that one year.
But Blake's got a. I don't know. He can't just be Lob City all anymore.
No, Blake needs to develop a game. You know, the idea, the sheer thought of comparing him to Sean Kemp is ridiculous.
Sean Kemp was so nasty, and that's not even just '90s revisionism. Like, he was disgusting,
retarded. So
he was a hybrid of. Game wise, of Dwight and Blake Griffin.
Yeah,
to me,
mixed with a sprinkled with a tad bit of Dominique,
which is the velocity of the dunk.
Yes, his in game dunking, because Dominique's the best in game dunk I've ever seen. But Sean Kemp is like top three, top five in that.
Kemp's, I think Dominique. I don't know. Kemp's dunks were so hard.
They were hard.
Now you're going to make me wish I had NBA Jam.
I got it on my phone. Do you have it on your iPhone?
No, I should. Don't.
You should, but you don't. I have NBA Jam and Tournament Edition.
Oh, you mean you've got like the old school Super Nintendo ROM?
Yes.
All right. Anyway.
Android 1? No, I'm playing. We're not doing this today. I quit.
You should just quit while you're ahead, man.
1-0, I'm done. But
1-0. Okay. Yeah, I can put illegal old video games on my phone. One.
don't say the I word. Chill out. San Antonio in four, and I, you know what? Just for the sake, I'm gonna say Clippers, and just because that game, yeah, each playoff game is different, but that seemed to take all the wind out of Memphis' sails.
Here's the thing, though.
I think Clippers got that in six.
Then I think San Antonio gets the Clippers.
They do.
Because I think Paul and Parker, I think that's a great matchup. But, yeah, Duncan's old. Griffin's young and everything. But you know who they don't have an answer for? Is Manu.
Mm.
They got nobody. What are you going to do? Put Nick Young? Oh, come on. Let's be...
They're going to put Reggie Evans on him and have him try to break his nose.
Barring an injury, that would be fantastic for San Antonio because they don't want to see Memphis.
Right.
They don't want to see Memphis because Memphis... Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, Chris Paul can put the clip on their back, but theoretically, Memphis can just lock you down defensively.
Yes. Now, they swept San Antonio last year, right?
They didn't sweep them, no.
They didn't sweep them? I thought they did.
Everybody can hear us Googling right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. Six games.
Okay.
Because, they were an 8 seed. I forgot about that.
Yes. It's 8-1.
8-1. And then... Oh, and then they pushed... Oh, wow. And then they pushed Oklahoma City to 7. Yeah, that was a good series.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good series.
All right. So where are we? So we're talking about... So you think it's Clippers, San Antonio, and then obviously it's San Antonio, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's go to the bottom half of the West.
Now, hold on. Okay. I just want to make a point. Now, if Memphis gets by the Clippers,
yeah,
and then they could potentially beat San Antonio, they're in the Western Conference Finals.
I know.
That's bugged.
I know.
So, all right.
But I think Memphis has the type of perimeter defenders that even though they might not be able to on paper match up one-on-one with Manu or Parker, I think as a team, I think, you know, Tony Allen, you got Conley playing better defense. Like, I think they have the kind of defense that could really give them problems, and then they have so much. They're so big.
Yeah.
And you know they're not – I mean, yeah, they're pretty high – they're a high-scoring team, but, you know, as long as Duncan's out there, they're not going to be out-racing everybody. So,
right.
You know, Duncan and Zebo, man, that's a – those are two guys who actually, like, have legit post games, which for all these – supposed great big men, you never see those like that back to the basket game anymore.
Absolutely.
So yeah, even though I'd like to see, you know, the Clippers go far, I think in terms of like better basketball, I think Memphis, San Antonio, I think everybody wants to see that rematch.
Yeah.
So bottom half. So let's talk about Lakers and Denver. Did you see this game at all?
No, I didn't see anything, but I heard that the Lakers looked really good, like scary good.
Because Bynum looked real good. He's just so efficient. Like, if you get him the ball down low, it's so easy for him to score. And defensively, he was just blocking shots like it was nothing. He had 10 blocks. It was crazy. But one thing that really struck me is, you know, I didn't watch a ton of Laker games this year, so maybe I didn't pay attention to it too much. But I can't believe how hard Kobe has to work for his points now.
Yeah.
I mean,
he looks like when somebody doesn't know how to play 2K and they just dribble around and just try to like penetrate and drive so they can dunk. I mean, that's what he looks like.
I mean, you talked before when we talked about Boston about crafty veterans. He is the craftiest
guy in the league.
Bar none, nobody is as crafty as him. With the exception of maybe Duncan.
Yeah.
Who had the young guys on the Jazz, the young big men, he had them like faked out of the shoes. Like he was doing pump fakes and I mean he was doing like pump fake basket for the dunk. Like I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they flew him to Germany to get the Kobe Bryant treatment or something.
Right.
But Kobe has to work really hard for his shots.
Yeah. He's getting old.
He's just not as efficient as he used to be and we're you know, the Lakers offense. It's weird, right? So there's going to come a point in this postseason where Kobe's going to have to be okay feeding the ball into Bynum in the fourth quarter.
They should be playing an inside-out game. And
they
not.
Really should be. It would make Kobe's life easier.
But
he doesn't know how to do that.
He doesn't know how. He doesn't know how to.
He's better than he used to be, but in the fourth quarter, I saw this online. I forget what site it was. It might have been Grantland, but someone said he goes into Super Saiyan mode, and it's like,
yeah,
he does. He becomes like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, it's fourth quarter. You know, all right. Well, I'm Kobe Bryant, so here we go. You know, it's like, nah, man, you're old.
Yeah, he's like, I can't even think of his name from The Wire. I just blacked out. Yo, all my Wire fans are gonna like kill me.
All right, pick another analogy then.
No.
Are you Googling it right now?
Yes. Yes, oh, I am. Man. Give me 1 second.
All right, well, I'm gonna keep talking about Kobe. So,
right.
They really should just be feeding it to him, especially against Denver. You know, they don't have Nene anymore. I
don't know what they're doing.
You know, that, okay. You got your comparison now? You ready?
I got him.
All right, what do you got?
He's Marlo from The Wire.
Okay.
And this is why. Because on the last episode of The Wire, basically they let Marlo go. Like they could have got him, they could have locked him up, they didn't. He basically got free, home free. But he was so, all he knew was the drug game. He instinctively went back to it because that's, you know, he instinctively went back to it and was carrying himself like he was still on the streets. Kobe's the same way. So it's like, you know, it's like when we let a dog out the cage and they've been caged for so long, they just sit in the cage and you're like, no, you can go. Like when they let animals back out into the wild and they're kind of like reluctant to go because they don't know what's out there. All they know is you feeding them and you pretty much taking care of them. They don't know how to take care of themselves. Kobe's the same way. He's so used to this one way of scoring points that there's a great option. There's a way for him to preserve, add years or maintain years of his career. Cause the way he's playing, how many years do you think he got left? Three?
Kobe? Oh man. I feel like he could just go at any time.
He probably has three good years left, but he probably won't retire for another five or six.
Mm.
I think he's going to have some of those. I think he's going to have, I don't want to say those Jordan years because Jordan still wasn't as horrible as people make him out to be for the Wizards. But
no, it was awkward.
It was awkward. It wasn't bad. He was still scoring, you know, 40 points here and there. Like you still saw flashes, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe had like one or two seasons or two or three seasons where he just washed up. And he was still trying to play the same way that he played in 2001. Mm. And everybody's just looking at him drive, you know, dribble the ball around half court until he gets a shot. But
so
anyway,
so just to give an update, it's second quarter right now. So Miami's up on New York, but it's a close game. And Anthony, Carmelo's already got 15 points in the first half.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Not one of them games.
Indiana's up on Orlando by 10 already in the first quarter. So we'll see. Orlando can't shoot for anything tonight. Not surprised. I mean, Orlando really lives and dies by their shooting, aside from Dwight. So in case y'all can't tell, we're recording this on Monday night. So, you know, some of this might change a little bit, but you get the idea.
A little bit.
All right. All right, so.
We'll still be right for the most part. Clockstradamus strikes again. That's how we do.
So what do you think? You think Lakers got this on Denver?
Yeah. And I like Denver, but nah, they might win a game.
I think they're going to win a game in Denver.
Yeah.
Cause I think, wouldn't be surprised. I think they have depth and it is harder to play in that altitude.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ruin my basketball career.
So I think they get at least one game.
Yep.
So then you got Oklahoma City and Dallas.
I saw the fourth quarter of this game. Dallas should have won that game.
And that should be ringing alarm bells for everybody, right?
Yeah, they're not the same Dallas. Nobody even cares or bats an eye and realizes that these are your defending NBA champions. And well, nobody's talking
so,
about
I mean,
that.
They're so different than they were.
They are.
You know, no J.J. Barea, no Tyson Chandler. You know, their supposed big move was going to bring in Odom, but what a disaster that was.
Yeah, that sucked.
So, you know, I don't think anybody really expect. I mean, I thought that they were going to give Oklahoma City, you know, a good game, but I didn't expect them to be so close. Right, Dirk started the year off pretty terribly, but mm-hmm. he's really playing a lot. He's really playing great now. So. Mm-hmm. Who do you got winning this? You think Oklahoma City, Dallas?
OKC wins, but I say OKC in six.
Six?
Yeah. I say six. If it goes seven, I'm not surprised, but I think it'll go six.
And you think that's just because Dallas is that good, or is it just like that veteran sort of team that sort of hang on?
Nah, I mean, OKC, they'll just get them in six games. I don't think they're the same team. I think, oh, you're saying why do they win two games?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Two words. Or Westbrook.
Oh, you think Westbrook?
He'll shoot him out the game. Oh. So he's the reason why they won't win a championship.
Oh, do you want to talk about this now or you want to wait? We can talk about this now.
It don't matter.
So
it
you
now.
Think you're not a Westbrook fan?
I'm a fan of him on NBA Jam. I have NBA Jam for PS3. Him and Durant are dope on that.
Well, yeah, but I would expect that.
Yeah, but in real life, no. He's too selfish. I really didn't like the way he played in the All-Star game. Like, people were talking about LeBron in the All-Star game, but he was just like...
That's just an All-Star game, man.
Yeah, but still. It looked too much like a regular game.
That's your favorite comeback. Yeah, but still. Yeah, Westbrook... He's funny, right? So, of course, he gets drafted by Oklahoma City. If he doesn't get drafted by Oklahoma City, I think he's one of those great stats on a bad team guys, right?
Yeah.
I could see him putting up huge numbers for, you know, some run-of-the-mill team, but...
He's Kevin Love.
Nah, Kevin Love is way better than him.
No, but I'm saying good stat on a bad team.
Well, no. So when I say that, there's something slightly derogatory about that, where I'm sort of insinuating that when you put him on a good team with other players, it doesn't work. I think Kevin Love's great.
He's dope.
What I think is great about Kevin Love is I think... And I almost think this is sort of detrimental to Minnesota in a way, but I think he's really complimentary. He'd be all sorts of complimentary to other people. Like, if he is – like, I think he's probably one of the best forwards in the league, but I think his personality and his game is such that if you're putting together a big two or a big three, if he's sort of like not your alpha dog but like the second in line, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
Right? Because he plays that role perfectly.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to fight you to take the end of the game shot. Not saying that he can't, but you know what I mean?
He can. He's clutch.
He is, but he's not Westbrook. The problem is Westbrook thinks he's the best player on that team.
Right.
Right. Durant is the best player on that team.
I've fallen away.
And Westbrook's really talented. And, you know, honestly, ironically, now that Rose is injured, I think this sort of opens up maybe a spot for him on the Olympic team.
Westbrook?
Well, who are you going to put?
I mean, I guess.
You know you're taking Chris Paul, right?
Yeah.
All right, so who else are you taking?
I don't even know. Are people even going to play in the Olympics this year with the season?
Definitely.
Jeez. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of have to take Westbrook.
I mean, you could take Rondo, right?
I'd take Rondo before Westbrook.
Rondo, I was having this argument on Twitter with someone. Over the weekend, I like Rondo. I actually really like his game, but I don't think it translates well to the international game. Where it's a smaller lane because it's like that trapezoid shape, and you could just straight up play zone defense, right? Now, I mean, you sort of can, NBA, but like they will just pack the paint, right? In the international game, you have to shoot.
Yes.
Well, that means you can't take Rondo.
Okay.
You don't want it to be 4-on-5. You know, coming down the court, right? I mean. Because really, when you're picking a team, you're just trying to make sure you don't lose to Spain, right?
Right, right,
right. And you know, they're gonna have those three big guys down low. So if you've got a point guard who can't shoot, you can just forget about it.
It's a wrap.
So people, some people were saying, you know, Darren Williams. No,
that would be my pick.
That'd be your pick.
Yeah. I can shoot.
I'm gonna talk about the Olympics a little bit later on, actually.
Okay. I want to see him motivated.
Darren Williams?
Yes.
Well, he's gonna be playing in Brooklyn now.
Man, he's gone.
You think he's taking off?
Yeah, he's gone.
Where you think he's going?
They're saying Dallas. I haven't heard anything other than Dallas.
Dallas has got, they're going to have cap space, and
he's from there. He's
from there. But I don't know, man. I mean, you gotta be prepared when you play in your hometown.
Yeah, who was that worked out for?
Well, Derrick Rose seems to like it.
Yeah, but see, now I hear myself say it.
You know, obviously for LeBron, it didn't really work out that great. Although, and here's the problem, is people just sort of assumed, oh, he's from Ohio, therefore he's a Cleveland fan. Nah. LeBron grew up a Bulls fan.
Right.
Right, so.
As did most of us.
But yeah, you got to be careful about going to play. You know, I mean, if that was because Houston was trying to throw money at Bosch, you know, a couple summers ago, because he's from there, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so where are we going? Oh, okay, we were going on, we got on Deron Williams real quick. Oh, we were talking about OKC and Dallas. So yeah. you think OKC pulls us out six games?
Yeah, six games.
So then you got Oklahoma City and LA.
OKC in seven.
Mm.
That goes seven, but OKC takes it.
Yeah, if that gets to seven. Yeah, the order of those games is really important. I think if the Lakers can sneak one of the early games in Oklahoma City, if they can get it going back, if they can go back to LA for game six up 3-2,
mm-hmm.
I think that might be the Lakers. That's one of those things where I think home court really matters, because Oklahoma City, these people in Oklahoma, man, they think it's a college game, so they like stand at the beginning of the game until like the first shot goes in. That's a college basketball thing.
Okay.
They like wear like color cord t-shirts, but not like how some of these arenas do where they give out like the white shirt and they like the hope that, and they hope that three quarters of the arena wears it. No. They hand out like the bright blue, like that blue.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
everybody wears it.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, look, I go to a lot of college basketball games, so I like think that's kind of cool and everything, but I don't know. It's kind of weird for an NBA team. But yeah. Again, honestly, like God bless people of Oklahoma. There really is nothing else going on for them. No, seriously, man. Like it's not quite as bad. Like, look, I live like 20 minutes outside of Hartford, and I can't believe that Hartford used to have an NHL team. That is the funniest thing in the world to me. But Oklahoma City having an NBA team, that's just astonishing. There's nothing there. But yeah, game seven, you know, that'll be the biggest game seven in the history of that franchise. Well, the history of the new franchise. Everybody forgets they were the Sonics.
Right.
And as far as the Thunder are concerned, that'd be the biggest game seven ever in Oklahoma. So, I think that's just huge for OKC.
They'll pull it out. Durant will go crazy.
I mean, although, you know, part of me just would like to see, and I can't even imagine. I'm trying to think, what would get more press? Kobe losing a game seven or Westbrook melting down? Either way, I'm staying away from ESPN.
Right.
seriously, man.
Oh yeah, they'll milk that. Ugh.
I know.
How does First Take stay on for 2 hours?
Well, who, I don't know, who watches that? It's on
If you watch First Take and you listen to Clack Radio speakers, you are a conflicted person right now. Your mind is all over the place. I already know.
I mean, you know, if you're bored, there's nothing else going on at home. I don't know, man. But if you like Skip Bayless and you watch and you listen to Clack Radio speakers, you are a conflicted person.
Skip Bayless. That dude out of here, man.
Him and Stephen A. Get him out.
Post haste.
All right. So that means you got OKC and San Antonio?
San Antonio. And OKC wins that in, whew. Jeez, that might go seven.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's tough.
I don't know who they match up. Yeah, that's a weird. You know, it's funny. I don't know if that series really works to OKC's advantage, because Oklahoma City, you know, they really can't play. They really don't like to play Perkins and Ibaka at the same time in the fourth quarter, because neither of them have any offense, right? But the problem...
Don't get me started on Perkins.
But the problem is that means that they'd be playing... they're playing Durant at the four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Durant can't handle Duncan. Duncan can't handle Durant. Yeah, but oh, so what? They're gonna put him against Tiago Splitter. They're just gonna throw lobs over Durant all day. I'm saying is the way that OKC the way that San Antonio likes to play would sort of lead Oklahoma City into sort of being like, oh well, we'll just play our starting lineup in the fourth quarter, right? Because then you get Ibaka and Perkins to sort of bother Duncan down low. You can swing out Durant as a three, but they play better when Durant's a four.
Mm.
So that's the sort of thing. I think that's an awkward matchup for them. I mean, I'm not saying I don't necessarily agree, but like the way that the Thunder like to play, I don't know how well that matches up with San Antonio.
Who's San Antonio's big man?
Make me look this up.
Is it Splitter?
Well, he's one of them.
I mean, but they've got Duncan. They don't play Duncan at the five. They put him at the four.
He's technically still listed as a
center. He's listed as a center. I'm looking at the roster right now.
He's listed as a four. Oh, you know what? Oh, actually, they have a real interesting roster. I take that back. Yeah, they'll play Splitter. They'll play, what's they play at the center?
DeJuan Blair, right? A little bit.
A little bit, and they play. Oh, they play Boris Diaw too.
Don't they play Matt Bonner too?
Oh yeah, they play Bonner too. They got a lot of weird. They got a lot of those weird, like not traditional post guys.
Yeah. That work.
Yeah, you know, that's actually interesting. I mean, so let's say they do play Duncan at the five. Well, Diaw, he's sort of almost athletic enough to maybe bother. I don't know. Maybe not. He can't hang with Durant, but I don't know if the Spurs are a great matchup for them.
Yeah,
but we'll see. But nah, you know, everybody just wants the Oklahoma City Miami finals, right?
Yeah, and part of me does, but then part of me doesn't.
So here's what would be terrible about that is that we would have to hear, and God help us if the Thunder win, because the prevailing media storyline is already that Durant is the good guy. He's the face that the NBA should want. You know, when he signed the contract extension, he just did it, you know, just tweeted out a little thing saying, I signed, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do the decision. Like, they all want to make it out to be like, you know, Durant acts the way young players should, and there's this evil LeBron who's greedy and who's young and whatever else, blah, blah, blah. I can't handle any of this moralistic crap.
Right.
And you know that's all it would be.
Yep.
That being said, from a basketball standpoint, I think it's a really interesting finals.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how well that matches up for the Heat, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't – because I want Miami to win this year.
Yeah.
As a fan, I want to see Miami in the Thunder. To see LeBron win, I would much rather Chicago come out the East or Boston come out. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm tripping. I'm looking at the Eastern Conference. I would much rather San Antonio come out. My bad. Or L.A.
Because
they can handle them.
You think so? Yeah. L.A., I agree. Mm. L.A.'s got size, man.
Yeah, but nah. They'll beat the Lakers. They'll beat the Lakers in maybe six games, if not sooner.
Mm.
If not five. San Antonio will probably take six games.
How about the Thunder?
It'll go seven. Unless, like I said, LeBron, like, they cannot take any games off. They can't afford to get hurt. They can't afford, like, LeBron has to play. He is pretty much talking. I don't know if you've been following, but like for the last few weeks, he's been saying how he's going to start taking advantage or taking over games. And Wade has been like, LeBron's going to start taking over games.
And
so,
I mean, why?
If he, what?
No, go ahead.
Oh, so if he does that, and if they click on all cylinders, which Miami is kind of known to do, sort of, they have to beat everybody quick. They have to. They're like Mike Tyson. Longer it goes, the less that it benefits them.
Yeah, what I think everybody just wants to see is, you know, I think they want to see both the Thunder and the Heat play small ball, because that means you've got, you know, both Durant and and LeBron at the four.
Right.
I love seeing LeBron at the four. I think that when he gets older, I think that's actually where he just plays.
It is. It is. You'll see his post game develop a lot more over the next 3 to 4 years because he's not nearly as explosive as he was a few years ago. He's already changed his game up.
A little bit, yeah. But once when Jordan got old, you know, he moved to the sort of exact game that Kobe has now, right? That sort of mid-range step mm-hmm. back and all this work to do. Mm-hmm. LeBron is so big, he can just find a home down low. I mean, he can just go down on the post theoretically because he's big enough. And he could have a whole extra couple years just playing as the four for somebody.
Yep. You think he finishes his career in Miami? You think he goes back to Cleveland?
What'll be interesting is how, because Wade is older than everybody thinks.
Yeah, he's got, what, 6 or 7 years left? Because he's really beat up.
Does he have that many or not?
He got drafted in 2003?
Yeah, but he was like 20, what was he at that point? Hold on, I'm trying to look at it. Okay, so Wade is 30.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's going to start to, you know, I mean, he's already a little bit, you know, he's not quite what he was like 3 years ago. But, you know, in 3 years from now, LeBron is still going to be LeBron.
Yeah.
But I don't think Wade at 33 is going to be what he is now.
Has LeBron ever been hurt?
Oh. Like, for out for, like, a season? Like, that kind of hurt?
I mean, like, out for games.
Yeah, he's been injured.
Like, a significant injury.
I don't know.
Like, he doesn't get hurt.
Knock on wood, man.
Yeah.
Yo, Copyrighted Speakers, if by when this goes live on Wednesday morning or whenever this goes live, if LeBron is out for the rest of the playoffs, direct all hate mail to at Armand Wake Up.
Yo, chill out.
Yeah, it would be interesting to sort of see is how the Heat handled that transition. Right, so this all works now when Wade can, like, because Wade has 19 points already in the first half. Mm-hmm. Like, he's blowing up. But increasingly, this is going to be LeBron's team, and Wade is going to be, you know, the relation. Increasingly, it's going to sort of be like how it was, you know, not quite the same because it's not a big man, but sort of like how it was with Kobe and Shaq in the early 2000s, right? Where clearly Shaq's team, but Kobe was number two, and that was, you know, maybe it wasn't cool, but at least it was understood.
It worked.
Yeah. It worked, you know, until it didn't, obviously. But
right.
The Heat are on the downslope of that, right? Where, you know, increasingly it's going to be, yes, LeBron is the clear number one and Wade is the number two. I want to see what kind of talent they build up around the team. Because the strategy so far has been to bring in vets, which makes sense because they had limited resources. But they're going to need to get some young players in there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they're gonna need.
They need another guard.
They need a. They could use a center.
They could use it, and that sucks because they have like three or four centers.
They could use a good center. They don't even need that much from a center. They really need. They just need a center who does the dirty work.
Yeah, they need a goon.
Yeah, they don't need a center who has an offensive game.
Yeah, they need a goon.
Yeah, they need a center who can block a shot or two. Use every single one of their fouls.
Exactly.
That's and, how I was going. And grab and get a couple putbacks and alley-oops from LeBron.
Yep.
You'd think some young player would love to do that.
You'd think.
So I'll say this. If they don't win this year, assuming that they can't blame it on an injury, I think they have to seriously think about making changes.
They do.
And the obvious culprit is Bosch.
Spoelstra.
No. You think so?
I want it to be.
Oh, man.
Even though Pat Riley's gone on record and say that he's not going to get
rid of Spoelstra. That's his man. That would be...
I don't want Pat Riley to coach.
No. But that you know all the old media guys will love that.
Yeah, but no, I don't
That'll think Pat Riley That'll leave ESPN for a week.
Jesus. Yeah, right. Nah, I don't want Pat Riley doesn't want to coach.
No.
Dwayne Wade doesn't want Pat Riley to coach. And
You know,
anybody
you know,
under the age of 30 doesn't want Pat Riley to coach.
What if Pat Riley opens up the checkbooks for Phil Jackson?
What if? Oh, what if? That's now a good question.
Now we're talking.
That would be retarded. That would even be fair. That's 99 on NBA Live all over again.
But that's what I mean. Look, that's what he's done. He goes to the. I mean, he's. I mean, and it would. My goodness, if he could make that happen, if he could get a championship, it would be unquestionable. I mean, that would mean that he was responsible for getting some of the greatest players ever their championship.
Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron on his resume. Mm. That's unreal. Question, speaking of which, because they were talking about Phil Jackson going to the Knicks.
Yeah.
If you're the Knicks, do you keep Woodson?
No. But I also think that you need a different – I'm sorry. Was that too fast?
You sounded so disgusted.
No.
You're like, no.
Not if Phil Jackson's in the market. Although, you know, Phil's going to want to run the triangle. And, you know, actually, I think Carmelo could work in the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think – I don't know if they have the right person. I think their biggest problem is their GM. Right, I don't think they pick good players.
And Isaiah's kind of been lingering around lately too.
Oh man,
he went to dinner with Woodson the other night.
Oh wow, that's
yeah.
It's so much fail in one.
Yeah. One instead of one table, shut up.
No, really, like oh man, he. Oh god, that's terrifying. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm shaking. I'm drinking already. Like I'm just opening the bottle. I'm going to the liquor store right now, man.
Dark. Going dark liquor. I'm not.
Oh. So you got the Heat winning in seven?
Yeah. I got the Heat winning this year.
So if the Heat win.
Even though the Heat were better last year. Let me say that.
You think so?
Than they were this year. Yeah, they were.
So I don't know. Even though Battier didn't give much in the regular season, I liked what I saw out of him in the playoffs. And I think that this format – so I think LeBron benefited because he's a physical freak. He benefited almost from the compressed schedule because he just doesn't get tired.
Yeah. Right?
He can just overpower people. But the vets on that, their secondary players, I think benefit from the sort of like take a day or two off between games. Right? I think – so.
And identify those players.
I would say specifically Mike Miller and Battier.
Jesus, get rid of Mike Miller.
No, I think, I don't know. I still sort of, for some reason, I like the idea of Mike Miller more than that.
I like the idea of Mike Miller. I just don't like Mike Miller. Mike Miller is is what Novak is supposed to be. He's what Detlef Schrempf was, who's one of my favorite shooters of all time.
But see, what makes Miller so intriguing is that he really is more than a shooter because he can actually handle. So, like, ideally... He should make that roster so incredibly flexible.
But they just have
to. Because they can trot out all sorts of lineups.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, LeBron is already the most flexible player in terms of roster in the NBA.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, ideally, Battier should be pretty – you know, he can float between the three and the four. Maybe even play a little two if you're going big. Right? And then, you know, Dwayne can play the one or the two. Mike can play the one, two, or the three theoretically. So really, they should be able to just mix and match and mess people up. But yeah, I don't know. I still feel like one of those two. I feel like the slow pace of the playoffs will help. But I really think it'll be Battier more than anything. I don't think he's because remember he's only a year removed. I mean he gave Memphis some quality time last year.
Yes, he did.
So we'll have to see how that goes, but. So let's say LeBron wins. Is he cool now?
No.
So how many does he have to win?
15.
So you think he's just the sort of player that the media hates?
They just hate him. Yeah. He'll never win. This year won't count because it's a shortened season.
Oh, no, you know? No. More importantly, because they already started this nonsense on Twitter because Rose is out.
Yeah,
yeah Rose is out. Because, you know, nobody ever got injured before.
And because Miami apparently never beat – they beat Chicago in five games last year. Get out of here. So that – yeah. Next year it'll be because they have Phil Jackson Year after that, because they have a cyborg. Year after that, you know what I'm saying? It'll always be some sort of excuse. Like, see, LeBron will never.
I'll say this. If for whatever reason they were actually to get Phil Jackson, I think ESPN would go to like Brett Favre levels with the Heat. Like, not with idolizing, but like in terms of media. So like when Favre would do all those comebacks and they'd have like the reporter on his like lawn, right? I think they would literally just set up like a semi-permanent structure out in front of the arena in Miami, and so they would just have like a reporter living there.
Jesus. Who's coverage or whose coverage of did ESPN do, like, that's not even a legit question. Let me answer this right. Which player did ESPN cover the worst? Tebow or Favre? Because this Tebow was crazy. Because, yes, Favre, they're, like, consistent with it. Brett Favre just coughed into a napkin, and they talk about it for 4 hours. But this year with Tebow was unreal.
Yeah, you know, he just hit too many. It was like a media story come true, you know? It was like, imagine if you had a more talented version of Rudy, except he was Christian fundamental. Like, you couldn't hit any more hot ticket media items, you know? And of course, he wasn't showy about his religion, or too showy, you know? He had just the proper amount of, you know, sort of under the radar that the that the media likes to see.
Not overbearing.
Then they would do stories about how under the radar he was about it, which was the same effect. But right. See, you can't show up the media. You got to sort of lay a little low and then let them shine for you. Tebow's no fool.
Right.
But let's start real quick. Why did the Jets, of all people, why did they get Tebow?
Because Sanchez is a bum.
But Tebow in New York.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy. I always think about when I think of New York and athletes. I always think of Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson is probably my favorite pitcher ever. And when he went to New York, they killed him.
Yeah,
they drove him out. And Randy Johnson's such a laid back guy. I loved him in Seattle. I loved that 94-95 Mariners team. Loved them. And yeah, so when he went there, he, like, just the way of his style of play, and, you know, didn't help that his career was, you know, coming to an end. But yeah, they murdered him. So now when I think about Tebow, they're already booing him at games, and yeah, they're New Yorkers. This is what I don't understand, why they want all these players to come to play for them, and then when they get there, they treat them like crap. They treat Jeter like crap. A-Rod was somewhat deserved. Somewhat. Yeah. They went a little overboard, but Jeter did not deserve half of the slander that he got.
No. I hate the Yankees, but Jeter gets respect.
Yeah.
You know what really is, and everybody kind of forgets this about the Tebow thing. So Jacksonville tried to make a move for him.
Yes, they did.
He said he didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Well, now hold on a second. So, LeBron gets crucified, and I didn't mean to draw too much of a religious comparison. He gets crucified for what he did to his hometown fans, right? Tebow is from that part of Florida. He would have saved that franchise, not in terms of football performance, but in terms of season ticket sales and jersey sales. That franchise is like teetering on the edge of getting moved to L.A., right? Yeah, they are so close. They can't sell out anything. They are a mess.
Yeah, they black out everything.
They're a mess. Like, that franchise is just, they're in trouble. He honestly would have saved football in Jacksonville.
Mm.
Because if he does that, their season tickets, that all of a sudden, like, just from a financial point of view, like, I mean, it stinks to, like, to look, you know, your football people would be really angry, but you sort of look at them and you go, do you want there to be football in Jacksonville? Because I do. Right? That's how much he would have meant to them. But he was like, nah, I'm going to go be a backup in New York.
You don't think he's taking Sanchez's spot?
They gave Sanchez a $40 million contract. Now, that's not all guaranteed, but they just re-upped his contract.
How much is Tebow making, you know?
He doesn't make that much because he's still –
He's still on his rookie contract?
Yeah, but NBA, I mean, old, because he, I'm trying to think. Yeah, he came in before they tweaked the rookie scale, because the rookie thing in the NFL is a little more like the NBA now,
mm-hmm.
where it's not as much, but it used to be out of control.
It used to be crazy, because that's what happened to Stafford and Bradford.
Oh, it's actually not that much. It's like, oh, wait. I'm trying to look at this here. Oh, he signed for 5 years, $11.25 million with the Jets.
Oh, wow. That's not a lot.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't throw that kind of money at Sanchez. But who knows? Rex Ryan is an idiot. So there's a lot that can happen. Listen, I'm a Patriots fan, so.
Why are we doing this show?
All right, so we are getting deep in this podcast. So I want to talk about the Olympics, back to the NBA.
Okay.
I love the Olympics, like just as a sports fan in general.
Yes.
I love it.
And
I love
a great time for sports.
I love it this year now. So it used to be that, you know, so I'm trying to think, in 08 for the Summer Olympics, the big deal was that all of a sudden stuff's in high def. You know, mm-hmm. you got everything like that. I'm trying to think in 2010, I think the big deal is that, you could finally start to watch like a lot of stuff online.
Yeah, they had a bunch of stuff on.
Because I just watched curling all day.
Normally it was just what, NBC, CNBC.
They would like invent channels. That's what I love about the Olympics. They all of a sudden in my high def sports area, on my TiVo, all of a sudden there's like new NBC channels that come out of nowhere to handle the Olympics. You know what they're doing this year?
What?
Everything is on YouTube.
Yo, I love the idea of YouTube live streaming events. Love that idea.
I love it. I would have loved Coachella, except they didn't show the concerts I really wanted. And the times were terrible. But, you know, that's what happens when you're trying to, you know, watch a late night California concert when you're in the East Coast. Like, some of these times I would have been up here like 2 a.m. watching. I'm like, man, forget that.
They should have did that with South by Southwest, too.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. They got it.
They did it, but they didn't do it. Like I would have liked to see some of the like daytime performances.
And they got. I think NBC. I think they're gonna. You know, they got like the mobile and the tablet app, so they're gonna be doing all the video through that. Like, I'm excited, man. I love that.
The Ocho.
Let me tell you honestly. Like, so I got the iPad and the Apple TV.
Uh huh.
So that means
how is Apple TV? Is that dope?
Because I have a million Apple devices now, so it works really well. Because that means, you know, number one, it talks to my iTunes library.
Okay.
So, like, I pay for iTunes Match. And Apple TV can talk to iTunes Match. So, like, I can just visually browse through, like, my entire collection real fast. But what it's really great for is, like, anything I have on my iPad, I can send that video immediately. And the same goes for the iPhone. But on the iPad, you can also send just the whole screen right to the Apple TV. So, it, like, mirrors it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does all sorts of, you know, so like if I'm like, so I'll remotely access my stuff at work or whatever. I can do that from the iPad if I really want to. And what's cool is if I throw that up to the Apple TV, then the Apple TV becomes like the screen and the iPad is just keyboard and touchpad. But I can like, if I'm on like the iPad or the iPhone and I find like, you know, a YouTube video on Twitter or something, I can just hit a button and throw it up to the Apple TV real fast. The Netflix client's real good, and it's, since it's so tiny and there's no fan really, so it's real quiet. Like, that's one thing I hate about my PlayStation 3 is like when I watch Netflix and that thing, my PlayStation sounds like it's gonna take off.
Do you have a Slim or you got the OG?
I got the original.
Yeah, once mine conked out and I got a Slim, I don't hear it at all.
My thing is gigantic.
Dude, I didn't even realize how big that was till I got the Slim and stood inside. Like, what was I doing for 4 years, yo?
Honestly, the Apple TV next to the PlayStation, it's so funny. It's like, I don't know, a tenth of the size. Like, it's just, it's incredibly tiny. But
Jesus.
But it, you know, it's really but it's really great for all this stuff now, because, you know, all these companies, they're releasing stuff as like tablet apps, and you can get you know, they'll do like exclusive video, or it's really easy to do stuff or whatever. So like, if they have, it'll probably actually be faster. Instead of like going through channels, assuming they have a really good Olympic iPad app, I'll probably just be able to scroll through, find what I want, hit a button, and just watch it that way.
Mm.
Like for the Oscars, it was actually really – it's crazy. They had like – you could not only get the main view of the Oscars, but you could also hit a button and like view backstage. You could view the green room. You could view the place where they were like given like the, talking to the press afterwards, you could just do it at the touch of a button.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And even during commercials, like you still could go backstage and do whatever else.
So you could listen to Pharrell's sets during the commercials.
So if their iPad app is on point, man, I'm just probably going to do that. That's going to be great.
Yeah, it was dope in 08, like waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I love that, man.
To watch the games. That was probably some of the best basketball I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited about this year, because, you know, yeah, it kind of stinks that Rose and Howard probably aren't going to play. But even still, I think this is a crazy talented USA team.
Absolutely.
And
they haven't picked yet, right?
No, they haven't. You know, France will be decent. Spain will be nuts.
Spain's
I wonder if... Oh, but you know, I just realized I don't think Rubio's going to be back in time.
He's not.
Because that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's so much better now.
He's so much better.
That'd be kind of scary, man. All those big guys Spain has and Rubio just throwing alleys to him all day.
Do you expect the Timberwolves to get any better in the next two, three years?
If they signed him.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They didn't give him that. You listen to this. They lowballed him. They didn't sign him. They didn't offer him the max.
Why?
That's what everybody wants to wonder. Now it ended up being kind of smart because they got him to agree to it. But I think he's only committed to 3 years.
So he'll still be, because his stats are obviously not fluke. So he's got to like get some consistent injuries or something. He'll probably be playing like that for a few years, right?
Love? Yeah, no, Love's good, but you know, they got to have some of these other guys. They got to figure out what's going on. Like, I'm trying to think. They got Derek Williams. They got Wesley Johnson. Like, they got these athletic guys who just aren't really like there. They sort of like, ideally, they would be, you know, the Thunder 2.0, right? Where you sort of bottom out and you draft, but I don't know. I feel like they sort of whiffed a little bit on some of those picks. And that's crazy because, you know, I was a really big advocate of Derek Williams. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not doing a whole lot. In fact, I mean, I thought Cleveland should have taken him with the first pick instead of Kyrie Irving, but I was wrong.
Yeah, no, Kyrie is the truth.
He's nice. I mean, I hate Duke, so that's why I can't rationally judge anybody from Duke.
Is that have to do with your Austin Rivers bias?
I mean, that contributes a little bit, but I just don't think he's that good.
Okay.
To me, he is one of those kids who gets really hyped out of high school. Like, I mean, Kyrie, at least, you know, he might have only played like whatever game in college before he got hurt that his freshman year, but mm-hmm. he was nasty in those games.
Right.
Right. Whereas Austin Rivers, he wasn't nasty. And if you're a freshman making the jump to the NBA, you need to be nasty.
Yeah.
Right. Like Anthony Davis. Right, I don't think anyone's concerned about him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, all right, real quick, back to the Olympics, real quick. What was I gonna say? Yeah, so I think it's gonna be a really dope team this year. I want to see who they end up picking. I think the Olympics are really interesting because it's ideally now you might make some sort of. Some sort of adjustments because it's an international game, but ideally you're sort of making a statement about who's the best in the league, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, given what they have, because, you know, injuries and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, as long as LeBron and Durant aren't injured, I think they're fine.
You think they get gold over? I guess you can't tell until they pick the team, right?
Until they pick the team, yeah. I mean, They got some really interesting choices to make. You know, they're not the same team they were in 08, right? Because LeBron and yeah, so like, what do you do with Carmelo now? Right? Because you're not gonna well, if you've got Durant and you've got LeBron, do you really have room for Carmelo?
LeBron and Durant would have to switch their game up.
Yeah, exactly. I like Carmelo, but I don't think anybody should be switching their game up for him. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'd be really interested to see what happens, you know, with the team. And I'm just really looking forward to the Olympics this year. But
when do they start?
They don't start late like they did before. I'm trying to think. I can't believe they're in London. That's crazy. You ever
God, go? I gotta go to
London. So I didn't really like London that much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I heard the food there is nasty.
Do you like Indian food?
No.
Okay, stay away. No, because look, my last name is English. Like, I have British family. My wife has British family. But, like, I mean, if you like to go to the pub and eat, like, fish and chips, you're going to be all right. And they have a really huge influx of immigrants from India over the past whatever generations. So if you like Indian food, then, you know, you can definitely find some innovative stuff there. But otherwise, nah.
I gotta go.
It's an older, you know what it is? It's just older. Like, it's just really unusual coming from the U.S. You know, if you think of like an old city in the U.S., you might think of like Philly or Boston or something like that. But London's old on a whole other level.
Like Germany?
Yeah. I mean, that's just Europe in general, but I don't know. Like, I think I just went in a bad time of the year too. Like, I went in March and it was cloudy the whole time. Like, I was just like, I don't know, man. But no, like, I just, like, they, you know, they totally, like, wiped out, like, a whole part of town that was just, like, not well-developed, didn't have a lot going on, and they're just going to totally revamp it. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the Olympics this year. It's going to be crazy.
All right, so anything else we want to say about this, about the NBA, about the season, rookies? Who do you think's winning MVP?
That's a good question. I think LeBron gets MVP.
I don't think it should even be close.
I think LeBron gets MVP. I think he's done a lot more than Durant.
Yeah, I think he's just a more complete player.
He is.
But
Durant in like 2 years is going to be scary. He's scary now.
He is scary now.
He's going to be like frightening.
The only thing I'll say about LeBron is I think the media gets bored sometimes. You know, we saw this with Jordan in the 90s when they would do ridiculous things like the Karl Malone nonsense. And, you know, they hype up, they find a player or players.
You really don't like Karl Malone.
He's a fraud. No, listen. They would find every couple of years there'd be a new player who they would, you know, we had Barkley and then, you know. And it would be like, oh, they're having a great year, a great couple years, or, oh, you know, maybe they'll win MVP. Look, between 1988 and 1998, if Jordan was playing a full season, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't have won every single MVP. That's just it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron is, I don't understand how people, he's far and away the best player in the NBA. I just don't understand, you know.
I think you're right.
I think they sort of not invent these sort of things, but they want it to be a competitive. They want to be able to sell magazines or get, you know, hits on their blog post or whatever. Like, they want to make it seem like it's closer. And the problem is the media guys vote on this, so it feeds into itself.
Right.
Right. I mean, look, Rose had a really good year last year, but come on.
You don't think Rose should have got MVP last year?
I think they like for players other than LeBron to get it. I do.
Mm.
You know, it's sort of like, I don't know. And it's weird because MVP really, it's so we're not voting for player of the year. We're voting for most valuable player. And that's the wiggle room in sort of the language that allows these sports writers and the media to sort of invent these other reasons why players should get it. You know, right. Oh, well, they meant the most to their team. And well, if that's the case, I mean, heck, I think that's why Chris Paul is getting a lot of buzz as a, maybe not number one, but like the runner up or whatever. Cause you take him away from the Clippers and, you know, what do you got? Nothing. But no, like last year, like he left Cleveland and they went from first to worst. I don't know how much more you can say about someone's value.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Rose won MVP, yeah, and he got a new coach who won Coach of the Year. Like, so how much credit are you giving to Rose? Like, I just don't understand. It's not that Rose isn't incredible. I think he's the best point guard in the NBA.
Nah.
Uh-oh.
I don't like shoot first point guards. I don't like score first point guards.
I agree. But I think he's just so talented.
He's dope. He made Joey Dorsey good.
What's that?
I said he made Joey Dorsey and Chris Douglas Roberts good.
Chris Douglas
Roberts. Shout out Chris Douglas Roberts. That was my dude.
CDR.
I don't know where he is right now. I just knew he was going to kill in the league. I don't know where he is. He's like on the Bucks or something like that. He's like the eighth man on the Bucks.
If Chris Paul doesn't get the knee injuries, then I think he's... And if he still had that old explosiveness, then I think he would be probably... I think he's the best point guard in the league at that point.
Yeah. Would you say he's the smartest point guard?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows how to control that team, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I agree. No, I mean, Chris Paul, you know, when he's healthy... Although now, you know, I guess now you have to say that about Rose too. When Rose is healthy, so, you know, maybe that advantage... Maybe he doesn't have that advantage anymore. Because
what does this season do to Derrick Rose?
This is going to be bad, man. Because, well, remember what Chris Paul used to be like?
Yes.
See what he's like now?
Yeah, but did he have like an injury-ridden stretch
this? It's a specific injury.
It's just the ACL.
It's the ACL. It's the explosiveness.
Chris Paul tore his?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. Double check that. Yeah.
Shout out Google, man.
Yeah, Google's helping me out right now.
We gotta get some here's a question. Here's the age old question. I know it's old now.
Yeah.
But you know, do you think that Artest deserves 7?
I thought it deserved more.
So you think it was intentional?
What could it have been? How do you unintentionally elbow someone in the head? The head. You know,
hey,
look at it this way. Look how much we now know about head injuries with regards to football and hockey and what's happened to these dudes. And it matters. Like, you know, if that elbow is in the gut, you know, I think that'd be funny. That'd be like a wrestling move. But like, you know, if he elbows him somewhere else, is it as bad? No. But guess what? That's the way it works now. We now know that hitting someone in the head hard enough to give him a concussion is actually really terrible.
Sure.
I mean, that sort of makes logical sense, but sports never treated it that way.
Sure.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. Do I think that he walked on the court and said, I'm going to elbow him in the head? Probably not. Do I think that he walked on the court and he was like, I don't think it was unintentional, but I don't know if it was intentional, if that makes any sense. He's in a gray area.
Yeah.
But he has a history of being reckless.
That's what I was going to say. I think his rep. But I think that, you know, like in your attempts at rehabilitation, you have relapses. I honestly think that the only thing that was intentional was to defend himself from Ibaka. Like, he went down. I don't know where you poke your elbow out while banging on your chest. I don't know how that works.
Well, let me ask you this. So remember what Bynum did to JJ Barea?
Yes.
That was only 4 games.
That was super intentional.
That was super intentional.
That was much. There was no potential debate. My thing with Artest was that he didn't see. You notice how, like, soon as he elbowed, everybody goes back to calling him Artest?
Well, because Metal World Peace is... Oh, my God.
No, man. I don't like... what's the dude's name who does commentary? Breen?
Yeah.
No. Get him out of here. Get that bum. He's like the Jim Lampley of basketball commentators. He's horrible. He's biased. I don't like him. But, you know, I think Artest, like, the thing that was the X factor for me is that he didn't go check on. Like, I don't know if you ever black out that much to not feel another person's head on your elbow. I don't know how.
That's what I'm sorry. Like, he did the Will Ferrell move from Old School where he just like blacked out and didn't, you know, woke up and was like, oh, what happened? What happened? Oh, I just elbowed someone in the head. Like, look at it this way. If it wasn't intentional, it was reckless.
It was.
And frankly, like, you just, I think, I don't know. I don't think it would hurt the NBA. Like, for all the complaining I do about how the NBA has made it impossible for players to sort of defend themselves, and every time two players dare to look at each other, they start throwing texts, and I hate that. But
I hate that.
But elbow at the head? Nah. I think you can be strict on one thing. Like, I would rather them, I would love to see them not over tech, but at the same time, I don't think you can go wrong being protective about people getting hit in the head.
Sure. What about Rondo's bump? Pause.
He bumped him on purpose. Totally.
What does that do, though? Like, it wasn't even like a I want to fight you bump. It was, like, if I'm going to run into you and I'm upset, you're going to feel the bump. Pause.
Sorry. Clog radio speakers, we're done. I decided to cut this off. No. You know what? I'll tell you this. Nothing gets white media guys more riled up than an aggressive black male giving a chest bump to an authority figure. Nothing gets them so excited to talk. And right. They're not going to be overt about it. They know how to use coded language.
Sure.
But that was like a gift from the gods for these guys.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I just thought Rondo was being a little bit, he was being a baby. He was being a punk.
He's done this a few times this season.
And that's weird because for a guy with such amazing talent, they sure do seem to be shopping him around a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Danny Ainge. Like, he obviously wants to blow the team up.
He does.
He's been wanting to blow the team up for at least 2 years.
I mean, that kind of year after they did. I mean, this is the last year.
It is. And I think I asked you offline. You think Doc is done?
Again, I don't know. I mean, maybe he tries to coach his kid. Who knows?
That's a story and a half.
I mean, didn't Dunleavy get coached by his dad?
He did. But that's Dunleavy. That doesn't have the story to it. Nobody cares about Mike Dunleavy. But they do care about Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
So he has a good rep. You know what I'm saying? His son has buzz. It's almost like a rapper. It's almost like, you know, it's like if Diggy would have signed to like Run's label or something.
I was going to make a Peter Guns, Corey Guns analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Except, you know, there would have been talent involved.
Oh, yeah. There is no real good analogy for this, is there?
No, because it never, father son has never worked in hip hop. Got Curtis Blow's son. You've got a.
The Miller family?
Yeah, that's probably the most successful. I saw a Lil Romeo commercial like 2 weeks ago where he was rapping about some college. You know how they, you know those like Everest colleges?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was like ICDC or something like that.
Oh, no.
So he does a thing like, yeah, you know, if you go to ICDC, you can get your degree in this, that, and the third. All right, cool. Then all of a sudden some rap beat comes on, some generic rap, and he's like rapping and he's doing the like black guy pointing to the mirror because, you know, black people don't know what to do with their hands in front of the camera. And it was just bad.
Should I remind everybody, please go follow Armand on Instagram because he's been throwing out some pictures.
Yo, I've got a series called Black People Don't Know What to Do with Their Hands, and mostly black men. Black women like on the hips, like black women usually do. Well, not black women. Most women, they do kissy faces, and I don't know who thought that was cute or whoever came up with that, but I've never seen a kissy face on a girl and said, you know what? That's a face I want to kiss. That's cute. Never said that. Not over an adult, maybe a child if my daughter did it, but no. And guys, we just like, we throw up fake gang signs and we put our pinky in the air like we drinking tea or we flip the camera off or we point. I don't know what we do. Just put your hands to your sides. It's okay.
Hands in the pocket? Hands in the side?
Yeah, hands in the pocket. Put your arm around the guy. It's not gay if you put your arm around your friend. Don't hold his hand. Don't put your arm around him and then lock fingers with him. Don't do the girlfriend walking in the rain.
How could you get your arm? I'm trying to think of the physical logistics here. What is going on? Like, how is your arm getting?
You've never done that with your girl? Like, you guys are walking together. You put your arm around her. She lifts her hand up, and
well,
you guys like
lunch
fingers.
Shorter. Like, what are you doing?
I like tall girls. So.
But not even that. But like, you're also a level of closeness with your girl. Like, if you're in a group picture, like, yeah, your arms are might be around, but like, it's not like y'all are hugged up. Like,
yeah, like you know, you do that around your girl, and you can like turn and you'll be in her neck. You can whisper something to her. You give her a kiss or whatever. But it's like, if you're like that with a guy, what am I gonna tell you if I'm taking a picture with you like that? Like, hey, Doc, did you mix that record for me? What are we gonna talk about on Clock Radio Speakers this week? We would get killed. That was like the 50 Cent and Game picture. Remember that?
I'm uncomfortable with this entire line of conversation.
All right.
We have time to shut it. Totally derailed. We are well over 2 hours in.
All right. Let's
and we thought this was going to be a quick episode.
It never is. What's the quickest episode we've ever done? Like,
it's probably been a couple months. It's been a couple months.
Wow. And we're getting ready to do a whole slew of not quick episodes. Because next week.
What are we doing next week?
We got to do it.
Is it time to start Kanye?
It's time to start Kanye. All right. The streets been waiting.
You know what? I want to add this to the list for future ones. I don't know if we want to talk about this a little bit, but I think 50 is a good topic.
You want to do 50 and G Unit? You want to do G Unit as a whole?
I kind of want to talk more about 50. We can talk about G Unit too.
I mean, because when you talk about G-Unit, yeah, we have to do that. I'm not doing 27 G-Unit radios.
No.
But, you know, we could do retail albums. But, you know, aside from 50, that whole G-Unit run, you've got two albums from Banks, one from Buck, one from Game, and one from Yayo. You don't really have a whole lot.
Okay,
you got the Give It to Die
Trying. You just named like seven albums. You're like, it's nothing.
I mean, compared to what we got to do with 50, because if we do 50, we're doing everything, right?
Yeah. No, you know what it is?
Gangsta Grills drops next week. You want to do that first?
No. I will say that beat, the song I heard, that beat sounded nice.
The one with Snoop?
Is that what that one, the one lead?
It's called like Remain Calm or something like that. Came out over the weekend.
He has a, you know, when they were doing that little like, that little run that they were trying to do, like another little mini run where they had all those real grimy videos of him like in the mansion in Connecticut, like 07, 08. He had a whole run of producers that he should have some nice beats in the stash.
Was that funeral music?
Yeah, like that era.
Yo, Curtis. Now is it Curtis? No, Before I Self-Destruct. That's got some joints on there.
Nah, I don't know.
Nah, the record with the Gladys Knight sample, Strong Enough.
I'd have to go see. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to it. But you know what it is? I've been going back. I've been tweaking a 1.5 in the Massacre.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. I can't wait to talk about that. I feel like that was a real missed opportunity for him.
It was.
But we'll save all that. So at least 2 weeks of Kanye, right?
I at least two, but I'm thinking three. We might have to do three.
So. Obviously, we're going to go really in-depth, everybody. We're going to talk about the production. We're going to talk about the albums, talk about everything from, oh, goodness, Watch the Throne to What Got Left Off College Dropout to you name it. It's going to get covered. Good Friday, all that.
Yeah, all of that.
So this is going to be big.
That's what she said.
Anyway, I'm excited to do this. I think this will be interesting too, because I think this will be is this the first time we've really? I mean, we did a little bit with Wu-Tang, but this is the first time we've really had to tackle at least parts of like a production discography. You know?
Yeah. We've been wanting to kind of get into that.
So I think Kanye is a good transition into that. We did a little bit with not even really with Death Row, because we talked a little bit about Dre's production, but that was more sort of like a corollary. I think it'd be really interesting. I think we're gonna have to at least spend part of one episode on his beats, but Yeah, I'm excited, man.
We have to do a whole episode on just his production for other people.
Oh my goodness! Anybody who's listening to this who follows what I do on Spotify, or whatever, there's about to be a lot of playlists. That's all I'm gonna. It's gonna have to be.
Yeah, follow me on Spotify. I'm the king of random Spotify playlists.
Next week, Armand's coming to Pinterest. And then, no, I'm just joking.
Ish. I'm trying to get on Pinterest. I'm trying to see what their life's like. Mine's is real. Yo, everything's signed and sealed. Oh,
stop it. Can I just say, Pinterest is the weirdest social network ever because I join just because I will randomly join any social network just to lock down my username in case it blows up. But
okay.
But I've never really done anything on Pinterest, but I get friended all the time. You know why? Because when you join Pinterest, it tries to sync up with Facebook and it shows you who you're friends with on Facebook that's also on Pinterest.
As does every other.
But let me tell you, everybody who's ever friended me on Pinterest, it's all girls.
Yeah. They're,
it is like not no joke, and I think this is legit. It's like 90% female. The only really? Social network like that, absolutely. It's real interesting. That could be a whole other episode. Anyway, so yeah, real quick before we go, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been tuning in. This has been we're real close. Like, honestly, before I started the broadcast, we were 2 page views away from this being our biggest month ever. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that sometime before the night's over and the month's over that we're going to get there. So this is either tied for the biggest or the biggest month ever. And our previous high was – that was just back when we just had a ridiculous number due to the we did that blueprint episode way back. And this is basically – September was one of our biggest months before this. But this has just been a real consistent effort week to week. So that's good. You know, I really appreciate everybody tuning in, telling everybody – don't forget, please rate us on iTunes. That's really important.
Yeah, we are on iTunes. Somebody asked why we weren't. We are on iTunes.
Absolutely. Yes, just go search for Clock Radio Speakers. Should be really easy to find. Luckily for us, there's nothing that's really competing with it.
Yes. Number one.
In terms of like, if you search for Clock Radio Speakers, you're going to find us. So please rate us, review us, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think throughout the NBA playoffs, actually, if you want. I don't know if we'll do a follow-up, but, you know, if you want to try to tell us why Noah is better than Armand thinks or...
No, don't do that because you'll be wrong.
Or if you're a New York Knicks fan, you know, you can hit us up. But other than that, I hope you all enjoyed the episode. Armand, you got anything you need to announce or talk about? Or are you cool?
Nah, man. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.